play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. And now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz and Jim Lee with Silver Streaks Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
At John Field Gymnasium, where senior Chloe Anderson raising the flag tonight on senior night, the Quincy Blue Devils in town. Let's turn things over to the Silver Streaks Pep Band for our national anthem. Silver Streaks Pep Band with our national anthem. It's time now for tonight's starting lineups. Quincy and Galesburg. Here's public address announcer Gary Mitchell.
For the Quincy Blue Devils, 6'4", junior forward, number 4, Connor Mellon. 6'3", senior guard, number 5, Martin Kvitny. 5'11", senior guard, number 13, Mason Fairley. 6'1", junior guard, number 22, Zach Burry. And a 6'7", senior forward, number 40, Jason Sauron. Assistant coaches are Tom Lepper, Chris Harmon, and Doug Bruner. And the head coach of the Blue Devils, Mr. Sean Taylor. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the starting lineup for your Galesburg Silver Streaks. 5'10" senior guard, number 1, Diggins, Trevon Diggins. 6 foot freshman guard, number 4, Meeker, Ethan Meeker. 6'1" senior guard, number 11, Cheeseman, Carson Cheeseman. 6'2" sophomore guard, number 32, Gibson, Grant Gibson. Six-foot-five senior forward, number 40, Carl Ryan Carl. Assistant coaches are Steve Cheeseman, Ryan Hart, and Matt Pogan. The head coach of the Silver Streaks, Mr. Mike Reynolds. And now let's play basketball.
Our thanks to public address announcer Gary Mitchell. Senior night here at John Field Gymnasium. We're coming to the end of a homestand, a 10-game homestand for the Silver Streaks. This is game 9. Blue Island Eisenhower in town tomorrow for a little earlier start. And then the Silver Streaks hit the road for the end of the season. So not a bad crowd on hand. Jim Lee, we certainly hope for a better senior night tonight than we had last night.
Yeah, last night a real disappointment. Tonight, yeah, we don't want to get behind 20-6 in the first quarter like the girls did last night. But we have not started real well. The boys haven't lately either.
Silver Streaks win the tip. Carl, left side, Diggins, down low, Meeker. Gibson comes out high around a screen. Doesn't get freed up enough for the pass. Steps inside the free throw line, shoots and scores. That's a good start. Galesburg on top early against the undefeated in the Western Big Six, Quincy Blue Devils, 6-0 in the conference, 15-4 overall. A team playing very well under Sean Taylor in his 10th year now at Quincy. On the left side, this is Martin Gavidley, a 6'3 senior working his way to the top of the arc. Reverses directions back. It's knocked away, but Connor Mellon picks it up in front of the Galesburg bench. Mason Fairley with it in the midcourt circle. Right side, Gavidley. Galesburg lost by 3 down at Quincy back in December. Seems like an eternity ago. The first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter doomed Galesburg in what had been a very well-played game up through the first three quarters that night. They had the lead going into the fourth quarter and then went scoreless for the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter and ended up falling behind by 6, never could come back all the way. Until Rock Island took Quincy to overtime, that was about as much as the Blue Devils had been pressed in the Western Big Six. On the outside, nearly losing his man, Kvitley, but Diggins recovers enough, passes it left side instead. Long possession by the Blue Devils, now working his way inside. Mellon just forces it up with the right hand. Looks like he finally just decided to make something happen with it. Grant Gibson with the rebound after a not very good shot.
Yeah, good streaks defense. If that's all they can come up with after working the ball around for about 45 seconds, we'll have a good night.
Meeker, a run on a curl, works his way into the lane. Then he can't get the jumper in the lane. The rebound by Salrin off the back of the rim. And then Cheeseman gets knocked down at the other end but throws it away, picked up off the floor and a missed shot. Then Gibson runs under the rebound and it's chased down by Mellon on the other side. So the Silver Streaks got a break by getting it back, and then Cheeseman on the floor ended up throwing it away, and now Quincy, after an offensive rebound, gets another shot. In the lane, spinning up with the left hand, that won't go down, and this time Gibson does come up with a rebound after the miss by Mellon.
We forced them into a couple of awkward, bad shots. Love our defense early in this one.
At the top of the circle, picked off. On the run, Zach Burry with a run out at the other end, up and in with a left hand, and we're tied at 2. Galesburg got careless with the ball with a bad pass, and Quincy intercepted it, took it the other way.
Ethan Meeker just tried to kick it back out high, and that was well anticipated by the Quincy defender and tied it at 2.
On the right side, this is Meeker with it now, under 5.5 minutes to go. First quarter, we're just underway. Got off to a late start tonight. Sophomore game went overtime. Driving down the right side, Diggins up off the glass and in.
Oh, that's so good to see. I've said it time and time again, when we're at our best is when Trevon Diggins can penetrate like that and make things happen.
At Moline, Maroons leading Alleman 10-3 after the first quarter. So another high-powered offensive showing. Just inside the arc, Mason Fairley. Dump pass inside the lane. Shot won't go down for Salrin. Grant Gibson comes up with the rebound into the break into the front court. Left side finds Diggins with it. Two rebounds already for Grant Gibson. 4-2 Galesburg, 4:45 to go first quarter. Gibson on the right side, fakes the handoff to Meeker, steps inside, fires up a shot from 17 feet away, missed it, rebound deflected out of Kvitley's hands, then he controls, leads the break for the Blue Devils. Down the left side, Cheeseman tries to draw a charge, Kvitley missed the shot, now Diggins from the backside picks it off, and Trevon trying to run out, trying to pick it off the floor, runs into Kvitley, picks up his first foul.
And the officials letting him play right here. I thought Carson would probably get called for a blocking foul down there, and they made it a no call. Finally, they had to with the scrape going on for the ball out here near half court.
First foul of the game on either team. We played 3.5 minutes. 4-2 Galesburg. Blue Devils with the ball throw it into the backcourt. Good Galesburg defense in the half court. So Fairley runs across the timeline to take the long pass on the inbound. Now Kvitley with it between the circles. As I mentioned, sophomores won in overtime, 64-63. Quincy tied the game on a three-pointer at the buzzer to send it into overtime. Then Cody Sibley hit a shot with a 1.5 seconds left to win it for the Silver Streaks. Here's a miss by Kvitley. Again, good Galesburg defense. Kvitley kind of looked it over, just lofted up the 3. Meeker with the rebound. Now Joe Williams into the game for Galesburg, the sophomore. On the left side, skips it up top to Gibson. Now steps inside the arc, hits an 18-footer.
He knew he'd let that ball go well. He gets a little hop in his step when he knows he's released it well and he knows it's going in and just headed the other way.
He and Joe Williams, after most of the team had left the floor, stayed out in the pregame and took about 5 extra shots from the perimeter. Here's a runner that won't go down inside the arc on a shot by Cole Abbey. Gibson comes up with his 3rd rebound. Stepping inside, left side Meeker, open 3, in and out.
Boy.
Not quite enough arc on the rebound, or on the shot, and now Kvitley with a rebound gets fouled on a reach-in by Ryan Carl.
I really like the way Ethan released that ball. I thought it was going to go down, but it wouldn't. If that goes in, it might have forced Quincy's hand into a timeout there. But as the case is, still 6-2, streaks off to an excellent defensive start in this game. Ryan Carl, I think, is going to be a big player. He has to be against Jason Sauer, the 6'7 inside player for Quincy. I think Ryan, one of the key players in this game, he needs to have a big night here on senior night.
Fairley pulls up just inside the arc, missed it, rebound. Carl deflects it off the glass, and Gibson comes down, takes control for the Silver Streaks, leading 6-2 with the ball. Williams on the outside with Carl, Meeker, Diggins, and Gibson on the floor. Meeker on the outside, passes it to Gibson's right. Now gives it off to Diggins. Inside 3 minutes to go, first quarter. Carl dribbles once to the right, hands off to Williams on the outside. Gibson comes back out high, dribbles once. He gives away to Diggins. On the outside, Meeker bounces it in to Gibson. Fade away from about 12 feet off the back of the rim. Jason Salrin with the rebound for Quincy. Into the front court quickly. Driving inside, Abby's shot off the back of the rim. But he's fouled, and he'll get a chance at a couple of free throws here.
Interesting matchup here on this end. You've got the quickness of Abby against Trevon Diggins, but I still would love to see Trevon take it right down against him. There's not too many guys on that first step that can keep up with Diggins.
And Abby makes the first free throw. Well, Jim, unfortunately, you mentioned Ryan Carl will be big with Sauer. In fact, even both Sean Taylor mentioned it in the pregame interview, how well Sauerin is playing. He's been a huge defensive force, especially on the rebounding edge. Carl just picked up his second foul. Abby makes both free throws.
Well, that just puts it on Marcus Ross then to come in. And you know, he and Ryan are kind of interchangeable. Ryan probably a little better interior defender than Marcus, but similar size, and so Ross will need to come up with the rebounds we need as he gets his minutes.
Both seniors playing their last conference game in John Field Gymnasium with the final three on the road. On the right side, Meeker around the screen. Open! Three rolls in and out. It was on the mark. Now saving it under the basket, Abby, and he stepped on the end line, and Galesburg will get it on a dead ball rebound. Oh, it's a good-looking shot by Ethan.
Well, it's just so frustrating because he's so close. I mean, the balls are just rolling off the rim, and Coach Reynolds says he makes them routinely in practice. He's just not quite on the mark in the games.
Has it now on the inbound on the right side. Gives way to Joe Williams in the corner. He'll dribble it back to the outside. 2:10 to go first quarter at 6-4 Galesburg. Streaks have the ball, leading Quincy by two. On the outside, Ross will fire the three. That one's off the back of the rim, and the rebound pops out to Mellon for Quincy. Here come the Blue Devils trying to tie the game or take their first lead of the night. They've been tied once at two. Otherwise, the Silver Streaks have not trailed. Under 2 minutes to go in the first quarter. First place Quincy Blue Devils. How many times over the years have you been able to say that in the Western Big Six? And they just took a lead. Wide open on the outside. Burry got a beautiful look at it. And the net hardly moved on the shot. Blue Devils on top, 7-6. Diggins into the front court. Now Williams with it on the near sideline below us. Under a minute and a half to go, first quarter. Gibson between the circles, right side Diggins. Guarded by Abbey. Diggins pops it out to Meeker. Bounce pass down low on the interior to Grant. Turn around, spin move, won't go down. And the rebound on the weak side to Kvitli. He's got four rebounds in this game already in the first quarter. Dribbles away, gives away to Cole Abbey. Line drive shot from 17 feet, won't go. Trevon Diggins with the rebound. Silver Streaks trying to regain the lead on a runner with a one hand. Diggins' shot won't go down. He gets his own rebound, and it rolls in and out. And the rebound saved under the basket by Mellon for Quincy. Into the front court, driving in from the left side, jumping through the lane. That's a travel called on Martin Kvitli. Only the second turnover on the Blue Devils.
Kvitli throws the palms up and doesn't understand that call. He did cover a lot of area, but
he did.
We like the call. They don't turn it over very much. In fact, that's their first turnover of the night, I believe.
I had him for two.
Oh, there was that one kind of scrape underneath the basket where it changed hands. All right.
Gibson across midcourt. Galesburg trying to regain the lead. Denzel Jones into the game for Galesburg, joining Meeker, Williams, Gibson, and Ross. Now Gibson shoots the three, and that one is in and out.
He thought Mellon he had
again.
That one.
Four rebounds from Mellon, four for Kvitli, and Quincy dominating the boards here in the early going. Leading by only one, though, with under 30 seconds to go in the first quarter. Now Quincy will spread it out into the corners, and Kvitli just stands just across midcourt on the dribble, sliding to the left a little bit. Both calves heavily guarded as he drives down the right side on Williams, forces it up with a one hand, under the basket, save, turn around by Salrin, won't go, another battle for the rebound, coming from the backside, Kvitli gets it, and he can't get the shot off, and I think we're going to get a foul called on Joe Williams with Kvitli driving to the basket. He's going to get two free throws with no time showing at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, that's too bad. That foul was probably with a half a second left in the quarter, but I think the right call because he did get the arm before he heard the buzzer. We need to get the red lights around our backboards here.
Yeah, that'd be nice. See if we can put that in the budget. The line. First one up and off the front of the rim.
And again, look at this. We got four team fouls against the Silver Streaks, none against the opposition. We're just constantly in foul trouble every night.
Well, whatever you do, don't tell Mike Reynolds that he coaches his team to foul.
No, we learned that last week.
8-6 after one quarter. Kvitny makes one of two. Blue Devils by two. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
For the baseball enthusiast who appreciates the process of breaking in a genuine leather Rawlings glove. For the football fanatic that understands the importance of having an authentic Riddell helmet between you and the other guy. And for the volleyball player who will only practice with a Wilson ball because she insists it sounds different, louder, when she spikes it on her opponent. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee has brands that true athletes insist on for a reason. Find them all under one roof at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandberg Mall.
Stay in touch with Galesburg wherever you go and anytime you're online. Just log on to WGIL.com.
One quarter gone here at John Field Gymnasium. Quincy Blue Devils, the first-place team in the conference. Lead Galesburg. 11-6. Very good shooting in the first quarter by either team. Lots of rebounds to be had. The Blue Devils with a two-point lead have the ball to begin quarter number two. Fairly back into the game. Right side over to Abby. Drives inside the arc. Puts up a two-handed shot inside the free throw line. Missed it. Briefly knocked the ball out of Ethan Meeker's hands, but Ethan controls. Here come the Silver Streaks. Trying to tie the game back up or take the lead. On the right side, Marcus Ross in the corner will dribble it back out.
Maybe the shooting will improve. It's cold outside. A little chilly, I thought, in the gym when we got here. So the players trying to break a sweat. Quincy 2 of 13. Galesburg 3 of 13 in that first quarter.
Left side driving in. Williams got free past his man. Then he couldn't finish off the shot. And Salrin rebounds the miss.
Well, we've had some good opportunities here tonight. Just not able to get the shots down.
On the outside now, Quincy does get it across midcourt. Fairly over to Abby. He'll fire the long three. That one's off the back of the rim. Rebound. Boy, Denzel got up high for that one right on the baseline. Good rebounds. Both teams still not shooting very well. Silver Streaks trying to get back into this game. Just down two. Minute gone here in the second quarter. Diggins cut off at the high post out to Williams for three. That one is good. Said he was measuring up for extra time in the pregame warm-ups, and he puts Galesburg back on top 9-8 with Williams' first basket of the game.
Joel's got that high release. He can get some shots off that others can't.
In the lane, Abby fires one up from a couple feet away. Quincy with a tap-up won't go, and then Fairley under the basket comes out with a rebound. 9-8 Galesburg. Quincy with the ball here. In the lane, driving, Fairley dishes it back out. Abby steps inside the three-point line. Missed that jumper. Joe Williams with the rebound, trying to break out for the Silver Streaks. Cut off at the right elbow, passes it right side under the wing. Ross driving baseline and a blocking foul on Salrin. Just the first foul of the game on Quincy. And the Silver Streaks will inbound it left of their own basket.
Good job by Marcus as he went baseline there. His plan was to kick it off into the near corner here to Ethan, which he did. But the foul came first. Ethan sits down. As Grant is back in the game.
So Gibson got a little extra breather there at the quarter break. Silver Streaks with the ball and a one-point lead. Skipping it out high to Ross. Salrin backs off and Marcus passes it away to Gibson at the top of the arc. Reverses back to Marcus. Right side under the wing to Williams. Diggins and Jones also on the floor for the Silver Streaks. Denzel comes out high for the pass. Gives away to Gibson. Stepping inside the arc. Reverses back to Trevon. He'll pull up at the high post. Missed it badly on the weak side. Out of bounds back to Quincy. He shot it over the rim. And Salrin just let it go out of bounds. Halftime at Moline where the Maroons lead Alleman 24-13. On the left side, long three by Burry. That's off the back of the rim. Again, a quick shot by Quincy. Didn't run much offense. Gibson comes down with his fifth rebound. Pulls up inside the arc, off the back of the rim. And he was backing away, let Mason Fairley come in for the rebound. Otherwise, Grant, if he holds his position, now a steal by Diggins, and the run out up and in.
He's electric when he gets a chance, and the Streaks up three, as they should be against a Quincy team that is 2 of 19 from the field.
And 0 for 6 in this quarter. So 3 minutes gone here in the second quarter, 11-8 Galesburg. After Diggins' second basket of the game, like him penetrating to the basket, which is how he's gotten both of his baskets so far here in this one. Quincy doing a lot of passing, but you know, Jim, there just doesn't look to be a whole lot of offensive movement in their half-court sets here tonight so far. Here's a fadeaway, and that one's good by Sauer, and that one even was 15 feet away. Pulls Quincy back within one.
Well, it seemed like they were setting up Cole Abbey for a number of shots, and he was off the mark every time. He's sitting down now. So, well, he'll come back in now, but their offense has to go somewhere else, and they did that time with the big kid who hit the baseline jumper.
One of their three baskets was a steal just to the top of the circle on the streak's end and a breakaway layup at the other end. Here's Gibson driving in from the left side, cut off by a double team. A man got out of position. He got the shot off. Joe Williams with the offensive rebound and a blocking foul on Salrin. So the only two fouls of the night on Quincy are both against Salrin, the big man for the Blue Devils, and let's see if Sean Taylor wants to leave him in or if he's going to have to sit him down.
You know, probably the only reason, honestly, Salrin got that was because he swatted. I thought he got all ball against Joe, but he made that swat, and the official saw the motion and picked up the foul, and Joe hits the first free throw.
65.5% from the free throw line is Joe Williams, 12-10, Galesburg by two. Zach Burry sits down. For the time being, Salrin stays on the floor with Abbey replacing Burry instead. Second free throw by Williams, coming up and in. Galesburg back on top by three. Five in the quarter and for the game for Joe Williams. 13-10, Silver Streaks. On the left side across midcourt, a little contact there, but no foul called as Abbey gets the pass away. Skipping it back out high in the lane. Now right side, Salrin on the baseline. Gets it over to Fairley, penetrates, dishes it out. Faked by Kvitly, falls down. And they're going to call a foul.
On Kvitly.
Oh, on Kvitly instead. All right, there we go. Well, it was either that or a travel, I was convinced. And Kvitly picks up his first, fourth turnover on Quincy.
Yeah, pushed off with the arm that time. As we came out, made a little contact, and he pushed back and sent our man flying there. So Streaks with a chance to build on a three-point lead here in a tight Western Big Six showdown in this one.
Sean Taylor can't be very happy with how his team started here tonight. He's working the officials, but see a whole lot of effort by Quincy compared to what we saw back in December. And certainly not for a team coming in with 15 wins here tonight. On the outside, Ross wide open. Three rolls in and out. Rebound Salrin and a foul as Williams gets in. Nope, they're going to call a tie-up. Good job by Joe to get in there and tie up Salrin. And the held ball favors Galesburg, so they get it back. Good reaction by Joe. Took a risk there and it paid off.
Where are you going? Defensive rebound turnover?
That's what I'm going. Okay. So three in the quarter now, five turnovers for the game for Quincy. Williams right of the basket, lofts it way out high. Diggins nearly had to chase it down to the backcourt,
yep.
And then he cuts call for the double dribble.
I thought maybe he got away with it, but no such luck. He definitely double dribbled there.
So offsetting turnovers negate each other. Quincy back on offense. Still only a three-point Galesburg lead. They've certainly had some opportunities to make it a bigger lead here tonight. But not so far. Tough pass to the left side. Williams got in there underneath Abbey. Made contact, stole it away. Right side, Denzel Jones driving in on a hesitation drive and a foul called against Kvitly. And that's two on their leading scorer, Kvitly, and two on the big man, Salrin.
Well, we were noticing at the end of the first quarter they didn't have any fouls, and now they've picked up four. And like you said, Brad, we couldn't have drawn up the two. We wanted to pick up those two fouls apiece, and Kvitly and Salrin.
Kvitly sits down, wide open. Jones left corner off the back of the rim, and the rebound chased down by Williams, who knocked it loose, picked up by Gibson, under the basket, Diggins up and in. Timeout, Quincy. And Coach Sean Taylor is upset. He was directing some frustration at the earliers, but this it is all in his players right now with 2:59 to go in the first half.
Yeah, no question. I'm surprised he doesn't take a 60 on this as much as he's got to talk about right now. Very unhappy with the spacing of his players. They got sucked out on that loose ball out toward half court. They uncharacteristically gave up an easy basket underneath to Diggins. But, you know, with all this, I feel like we've really outplayed Quincy in a lot of ways. We're still only up five.
Yeah.
And anytime you play Quincy, you know they're going to have a run. At some point in the game, they're going to have a run. It may not come before halftime, but you know, you can't build a big enough lead. And if we would just had a couple more of those balls that went in and out, had a 10 or 11 point lead, which we easily could have right here, I'd feel a lot better about it.
Sure enough. Even now, the Silver Streaks are what, 0 for 5, 1 for 6? one for seven, one for eight, three for ten in this quarter. Is that right? So even then, not shooting the lights out. Here's Abby beating all men down floor, drives into the lane, dumps it underneath the Salarin, who lays it up and in. Tell me that wasn't a design play to get this team going energetically for Sean Taylor. Diggins will walk it across midcourt, 2:40 to go first half. Silver Streaks by three, 15-12. Williams on the left side, faked the three. Mellon didn't bite on it. Now he gets it out to Marcus Ross at the top of the circle, backs up. And Williams will take the pass. Gibson, Jones, and Diggins also on the floor for Galesburg. Jones right side over to Grant, trying to drive in, cut off by a double team on the baseline. It's knocked away by Mellon and then dribbles once onto the sideline, last touch by Quincy.
Well, that was close. Gibson and Mellon both had a hand on the ball, and Mellon just barely touched it at the end before it hit the baseline. So
what a whole lot of space down there between the two of them.
No, he got into a double team there, and we're lucky to have the ball back.
Williams on the right wing, now starts his dribble, tries to get it in. Good look to Denzel Jones, down the lane, up and in with the left hand.
Beautiful switch to the left by Denzel to get that up and in.
17-12, Galesburg by five, approaching the two-minute mark of the second quarter. Cross midcourt, Kvitli, left side Abby, top of the arc Fairley. Now Kvitli back into the game, right side with it. Salarin is on the floor with two, is on the bench with two fouls. Now Diggins from the backside just picked up his second foul as he tried to steal it away, knock it away from the backside of Cole Abbey. So two on Diggins, two on Ryan Carl, and that'll bring Carson Cheeseman back into the game for Galesburg.
The two leading scorers
to go
in the Western Big Six Conference here, and Grant Gibson and Martin Kvitli. Gives them just a little bit of a lead, and a lot of that, honestly, on the strength of that 38-point game against Moline.
Minute 45 to go before halftime. 17-12 Galesburg. Quincy with the ball, though. Down low, trying to post up Mellon. Thought that was pretty good defense by Marcus Ross, but he's going to get called for a body foul as Mellon initiated the contact. I thought Marcus held his ground pretty well, but any kind of movement down there gets him whistled for his first.
Interesting, the change in coaches over the years and the philosophies. For the first half, as Mellon's first free throw is no good.
First, awkward free throw shooting
it is.
Style.
First half of the sophomore game, the coaches sat together. Coaches Reynolds and Taylor just sat there and talked the whole first half. And my wife Linda came. She goes, that wouldn't have happened a few years ago. I don't think Lauren Wallace would have been very fraternizing to sit and talk with the opposing coach for a half of a ball game.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who it would have been.
Yeah, things have changed a lot.
Just was not his way. Here's Gibson. They cleared out on the right side. He pulls up, hits a 14-footer. Galesburg by seven now, as Mellon missed both free throws at the other end, and the Streaks lead 19-12, a minute 20 to go first half. Across midcourt, Kvitli. Here's a bad pass, nearly stolen away by Williams, but Abby gets to it, drives in from the left side, and he banks it up and in.
Made us pay for taking the risk, but I thought Joe was going to get it. He was so close.
Just a little quicker with a reach by Abbott to hang on to that possession. Gibson on the left side. Ross, now right side, Cheeseman. Skips it over the top to Williams. He'll shoot the three. And got it!
Three!
Four in a row for the Silver Streaks from the field and building us an eight-point lead.
Biggest lead of the first half. Eight in the quarter for Joe Williams. And as Jim said, an eight-point lead with 40 seconds to go. First half, 22-14. Kvitli drives in from the right side. Now Fairley right back to Kvitli. Just outside the elbow. Fairley trying to direct traffic from the sideline. They swing it around left to Abbey, who gives it back to Fairley between the circles. Backdoor cut to Kvitli. Yep. There's contact by Ross. A foul and a basket.
Just going to say, this is a big possession for Quincy. Doesn't surprise me they got a basket and went to their senior leader in Kvitli there. Not only a two, but good chance for a three-point play here.
Just his first basket of the game, surprisingly,
wow,
with 26 and a half seconds to go before halftime.
That's very surprising.
Does have a free throw from earlier, 3 points in the game, and now going back to the free throw line for a chance at another three-point play. Ross sits down with his second foul, replaced by Tyson Parks. Ethan Meeker in for Carson Cheeseman. Kvitli to the line, and he missed it. Gibson with a rebound.
It's interesting. Quincy pulled everybody off. They didn't try for an offensive rebound there. Everybody was just back.
Allowed Gibson to pull down his seventh rebound of the first half. 14 seconds to go before the teams head to the locker rooms. Gibson runs into a double team out high. Ball on the floor. Scramble for it. Look, Williams sends it. Tyson Parks up and in. He just flipped it over his shoulders from the floor to Bentley at half court. Gets fouled. A foul by Joe Williams.
Oh, Joe.
After a spectacular save on the floor to get it to Tyson Parks. And then Kvitly just heaving it at midcourt. Joe comes up and makes contact, and Kvitly's going to get three free throws, two quarters, two times. Quincy shoots free throws with no time on the clock.
Well, and if Quincy wins this game, you can probably look to these two plays by Kvitly. Boy, he just missed another free throw, though.
He barely drew the front of the rim.
He got the basket the last time down, but missed the free throw, and that time leaning in, able to get Joe to make the foul. And Quincy just trying to keep close here before the half. And I'm guessing Sean Taylor will have plenty to say to his troops here at halftime. The Silver Streaks have played a terrific game, especially on the defensive end so far.
Mike Reynolds getting an explanation on something from the officials. Gosh, Kvitly missed another one. He is 1 for 5 from the free throw line in this first half. And the steam rolling out of Sean Taylor's ears a little bit more on the sideline. You've got Kvitly down there missing free throws. The third one is good. So out of a 3 free throws with no time showing it right before halftime, they get 1. And Quincy trails by 7 to the homestanding Silver Streaks, trying to get back into the conference. That's as determined a walk as I've seen Sean Taylor make. He's a pretty easygoing guy, but there's some tension in those shoulders as he heads to the locker room. And I wouldn't want to be down there with those kids right now. Galesburg by 7 at the half, 24-17. We'll come back, take a look at the first half stats, a look at the individual scoring. We'll talk things over with Streaks assistant coach Steve Cheeseman as well. Galesburg outscores the Blue Devils 18-9 in the second quarter and leads at 24-17 at the half. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Look alive, boys. Here he comes.
Everybody buttoned up.
What's all the fuss about?
But there's the WGIL button spotter.
What's our plan?
Show him your button. He's got cold, hard cash.
Ooh.
Yep, cold, hard cash.
Wear a button, win some cash. Pick up your WGIL button at Liberty Tax Service on North Henderson or at Carmark Tire and Auto in the Sandburg Mall. All in Galesburg. Details at WGIL.com.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision.
Shh. You did not just...
Look at that dish.
Seared squab with foie gras.
And that thing that just raced by
with my appetite.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision...
Foie gras.
...out of collision.
Life is busy and quality times come in fleeting moments, only to be interrupted by basketball games, dance lessons, errands, and deadlines. Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg, has a genuine desire to find the right insurance coverages for your family. I'm Mark Craddy. I'll take time to find affordable home and auto insurance plans for you from Rockford Mutual Insurance. For a quote, call us or stop by our office on Henderson Street in Galesburg today.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center, all together better.
Hey, this is John Fuller for Focus on the Family, and coming up this weekend, what husbands need to know about their wives, how to avoid losing your temper as a mom, and the spiritual journey of a special needs son. All of that and more on the next Weekend Magazine.
Listen for Focus on the Family's Weekend Magazine, Sunday morning at 7 here on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Silver Streaks boys basketball continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center halftime report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
Halftime at John Field Gymnasium. Silver Streaks lead the Quincy Blue Devils 24-17. They outscored Quincy by 9 in quarter number 2. And Jim, I'm still not comfortable. 7-point lead over the Blue Devils is nice, but Silver Streaks have to do some other things better than they did in the first half. I think they've taken advantage of what Quincy has done or has not done, as the case may be. But, boy, still feel like this lead could be 12 or 13 or 14 even at this point.
Yeah, no question. You know, again, with just a few shots that don't want to fall for us, that are stubborn from the outside. But, you know, Joe Williams came in with that energy off the bench, gave us some points. We didn't like the foul at the end, but other than that, can't fault Joe for anything that he was doing here tonight. Brought a lot off the bench, and Silver Streak's defense, every trip down, we have not, other than the one steal by Berry in the layup, we haven't given them an easy basket in this game.
True.
And that's key, because usually they're able, with their offense, a lot of times they want to use that patient offense, find a back door, roll somebody down the lane, get an easy look, and the Streaks have been up to the task defensively.
Our halftime scoreboard brought to you by Craddy Insurance. We told you at halftime up at Moline, the Maroons were on top of Alleman. In fact, they held the Pioneers to just 3 points in the first quarter up there. Right now we take a look, and we see Rock Island leading United Township 32-22 at the half. And still no update from the last one we got, with Moline up 24-13 over the Pioneers at halftime. Here it's 24-17, Silver Streaks by 7. Our halftime statistics brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home and not miserable when you get the bill, Jim.
All right, Streaks 9 of 26 from the field, 34%, including a couple of threes in the second quarter. Quincy just 6 of 24, 25% in the half. Rebounding edge slightly in Quincy's corner right now. We've got 19-16 on the glass. A lot of rebounds in that half.
Yeah.
And turnovers, Quincy's had 6. Silver Streaks have taken very good care of the ball. Just 3 turnovers so far, and that's another part of the reason we're on top.
3-point shooting. Blue Devils 1 of 4 from behind the arc. Silver Streaks are 2 of 9. Free throws, Quincy only 4 of 10 from the free throw line, and 1 of 6 in the second quarter. Silver Streaks have been there only twice. Joe Williams made both of those free throws. It's 24-17, Silver Streaks over Quincy at the half. We'll take a look at the individual scoring. We'll talk to Streaks assistant Steve Cheeseman when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
GHS Silver Streaks basketball and WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Bell Foster Company, making it happen.
Hey, did you hear the McDonald's Egg McMuffin has 18 grams of protein, 300 calories, and is over 40 years old?
What? And it still looks that good?
I know. Can you believe it?
Surely it's had some work done.
Linda thinks it's had an egg lift.
I knew it. Wait, what's an egg lift?
I have no idea.
With 18 grams of protein and 300 calories, McDonald's hot and delicious Egg McMuffin really is as good as it looks. Right now, buy one and get a second one for just 40 cents. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
The official WGIL forecast, snow tonight with an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches. Not as cold with lows down around 16, temperatures rising into the 20s after midnight. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of snow, high of about 27. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a 50% chance of snow, lows down around 20. And finally, Sunday, sunny with a high of 28. Sunday night, cloudy with a low down around 18. Currently, it is 15 at WGIL.
You could win cash just by wearing the WGIL button. Pick up yours today at one of our participating sponsors. Details at WGIL.com.
Halftime at John Thiel Gymnasium. Galesburg leading the first place Quincy Blue Devils 24-17. Blue Devils still have not lost to the Western Big Six Conference. Silver Streaks have a golden opportunity here, leading the Blue Devils by 7 at the half. Let's take a quick look at the individual scoring in the first half. Quincy led by Zach Burry with 5. Jason Salrin, Cole Abbey, and Martin Kvidley each have 4. Mason Fairley and Connor Mellon have not scored for Quincy. For the Silver Streaks, Joe Williams leads Galesburg in scoring with 8, coming off a game last Friday night against Moline when he matched his career high with 15. He's already got 8 in the first half. Grant Gibson and Trevon Diggins each have 6. Denzel Jones, Tyson Parks, 2 points apiece. Ryan Carl, Marcus Ross, Carson Cheeseman, and Ethan Meeker have not scored for the Silver Streaks, who lead by 7 at the half. Our halftime interview with the coach, brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Here's Jim Lee.
All right, well, Steve, if we can hold them to another 17 this half, I like our chances.
Boy, that would be good, and we'd sure like our chances as well. I thought we played a really good half. They're a good ball club. If you have a lapse, they're going to take advantage of it. We played pretty good defense. We changed defenses. Down here, we got good shots. I think we got to get a little bit more flow on the offense, and we also need to crash the offensive glass. I think they're susceptible to giving up offensive stickbacks.
It's hard to anticipate what your opponent will do, but I'm guessing Sean Taylor will make some changes. Any thoughts on what he might do?
I think that he's probably going to try to come out and be aggressive here the first 3 minutes and try to take advantage of getting the momentum back. We talked about being ready for that, but I'm guessing he's going to be aggressive here and maybe try something full court press-wise against this here.
Great half. Finish the job.
Yeah, we sure hope so. Thanks, Jim.
Our thanks, as always, to Streaks assistant coach Steve Cheeseman joining us here at halftime. Gillsburg leading the first-place Blue Devils 24-17. Gillsburg needs a win here to get back within a game of first place. They need Rock Island to beat Quincy. Up at Rock Island in a couple of weeks. And, of course, the Silver Streaks have that game at Rock Island themselves if they have to play next Friday night. So tremendous amount of work to be done, including 16 more minutes of basketball here at John Thiel Gymnasium. Final home game in the conference season for the Silver Streaks as they want to celebrate senior night, leading by 7. Quincy with the ball to begin the second half. It's Fairley, Burry, Kvitli. Here's Fairley driving down to the right side. Lost a handle on the ball and picked up off the floor by Grant Gibson. For the Streaks, it's Cheeseman and Gibson, Meeker, Diggins, and Carl. So the 5 starters back on the floor to begin quarter number 3. And Carson Cheeseman, as he brought it across midcourt, picked up his pivot foot as he stopped across midcourt, and as he passed it away, picked up his pivot foot, so offsetting turnovers to begin the third quarter, and Quincy right back at it now. Kvitli, I did not mention Mellon and Salrin back on the floor. Remember Salrin playing with those 2 fouls. He'll pass it away to Kvitli. He has a hard time hanging on to it, but chases it down. Diggins guarding him. Just outside the arc, now top of the circle, it goes to Salrin. On the left side, Kvitli. Diggins trying to get all over. They set a double screen to try and free up Kvitli. Passes it away to Mellon. Spin move under the basket. Comes up short with the left hand. Salrin sneaks in there with the offensive putback. Not too bad. Streaks did a lot right there. Mellon made a nice move to the basket when he didn't finish it off. He'd sure like the Streaks to get that rebound. Now their lead is 5. Gibson. Left side over to Meeker on the wing. Ethan's been held quiet offensively. He gets it back. Had an open look for it. Mellon got out there quickly. Now posting up Carl under the basket. And he draws a 3rd foul on Jason Salrin.
That's a tough foul. I'm glad to get it, but that's a tough foul, especially for your 3rd. And the only reason Brian Carl got that basketball was to get the result we got. Normally, we don't go into the post that often to Ryan. I think we intentionally were looking for that 3rd foul right there, and we got it.
And I sure like to see Ryan taking it strong to the basket like that, too. See if they try the recipe again. Boy, Grant got away with a travel as he didn't get the ball on the floor very quickly, and he found an opening in the lane and banked it in off the glass.
Yeah,
Gillsburg by 7 again.
We couldn't get a call last week, and we've been the beneficiary of a few here tonight.
7-point lead, 26-19. On the outside, Kvitli, guarded by Diggins. Skips it right side into the corner. Now back out to the free throw line. Here's Salrin driving. He'll pull up, shoot over Carl. Missed it. And Grant Gibson comes up with his 8th rebound of the game. Into the front court. Waits for Cheeseman to get across midcourt. Gillsburg trying to build on a 7-point lead. They've led by as many as 8 here tonight. Diggins on the right wing. Top of the circle, Carl. Boy, had Meeker cutting back door, but it was well defended by Mellon, cutting him off on the left side. Gibson with it now on the outside. Gives way to Diggins. Meeker comes out on the right wing for the pass. He's covered up by Mellon, skips it up top to Carl. Left side over to Cheeseman. They'll give him room to shoot. Carson drives, kicks it back out to Gibson, going for the steal. Frees up Grant. Shot off the back of the rim. Fairley comes back after missing the steal and gets the rebound. Into the front court quickly. Fairley driving. Big rejection by Carl out of bounds.
The big swat by Ryan did it with authority. He's not going to let the little guy get it over the top of him.
Fairley at 5'11", Carl listed at 6'5". Joe Williams back into the game. Cheeseman sits down. Joe gave the Streaks some life coming off the bench in the first half, but he, Diggins, Ross, and Carl all have 2 fouls each. For Quincy, Kvitli has 2, Salrin has 3. Salrin still on the floor, despite picking up that 3rd foul very early here in the third quarter. 5:10 to go. Galesburg by 7 under the basket. Meeker reaches in and fairly got position in the lane. And Ethan reached in, picked up his first foul.
Yeah, initially it was just a body as he leaned in, and that was not the call. It was later on after he had kind of leaned in and got that move that Ethan picked up the foul.
Fairly to the free throw line, has not scored yet tonight, and the first one rolls through. Quincy only 4 of 10 from the free throw line, and characteristic to shoot so poorly at the free throw line in the first half. Fairly makes them both to begin the second half here. 26-21, Galesburg by 5. There's a little token full court pressure by Quincy.
Marla Clay said when they announced the halftime score at the Rock Island game, there was a large roar. Of course, the Rock fans want to see Quincy lose.
Down low, good position by Carl. He got under the basket, and then he draws a foul. And are they going to get that Salrin from the front, or are they going to get Burry from the backside? No, they got it on Cole Abbey instead, so he sneaked into the very end. That's just the first of the game on Cole Abbey. Let's see if Carl can make some free throws here. For a big man, he's shooting only his 12th free throw of the season, and he makes his first.
Of course, the Rock Island Rocks know that they need some help if they're going to catch Quincy, and also Galesburg for that matter. The Rocks have both Quincy and the Streaks up there. The Galesburg Streaks playing up there next Friday night.
Yep. Carl misses the second. Williams over the top, gets a hand on the rebound, knocking it out of bounds. And Galesburg is going to get this ball back. I think that's a fortunate call for the Silver Streaks. Williams from the right of his own basket on the inbound, looking, and he got, Mike Reynolds called timeout. The 5-second call was imminent, so Mike calls a 30-second timeout to avoid the turnover, and the Streaks will hang on to it with 4:53 to go in the third quarter, leading 27-21.
So far the third quarter, 4-3 Quincy at this point. It's been a very defensive-minded game, and I don't know that I'm going to see it change a whole lot. Each team has had some clean looks at the basket from the outside. Neither team has really been able to hit much from the perimeter. And the foul situation, what, just one player with three? Is that Salrin with three?
That's Salrin, yep.
Okay.
And a whole boatload of players with two. That's not an issue right now. The game is over as Moline routs Alleman 61-36. So the Maroons have it going with their third straight win in the conference after an 0-4 start. Left side, Meeker on the wing will bring it back out after Galesburg inbounds coming out of the 30-second timeout. Williams to Ryan Carl. Left side, Meeker. 4:40 to go, third quarter, Galesburg by 6. Top of the circle, Gibson gives way to Joe Williams. Pretty quiet crowd here tonight despite a lead over the first-place Blue Devils. Diggins on the left side. Top of the circle, Grant. It's been a defensive effort. Now on the outside, Meeker for 3!
Finally got it down. That way, Ethan.
Galesburg with its biggest lead now at 30-21, a 9-point edge over the Blue Devils approaching the midpoint of the third quarter. And Diggins goes up high, and he got up so high that he fouled Kvitly in the head and with his lower body. And that's the third foul of the game on Diggins now, and that's not good for the Streaks.
Well, and of our fouls in this game, probably half of them have just been silly. The ones made out around half court that you really hate to see.
So on the inbound, this will be Fairley with it. Fakes it right side over to Kvitly. They tried to draw a foul away from the ball as Galesburg gets called for those screens a lot. But Mellon couldn't get it under the basket as he tried to draw it. Now driving, Kvitly got up into the air, passed it away, then poked away from the backside by Joe Williams and diving onto the floor. Burry trying to get it back goes out of bounds.
Good anticipation. I'm surprised. That's not a good pass from Kvitly. He's just not having a good game on either end of the
court. He really looks off tonight.
And so let's take advantage of that because he's usually a very good player, but he's trying to figure it out on both ends.
So Quincy will have to pick it up defensively. But they're going to back away into the half court again. Gibson will bring it across midcourt against Abbey. Now left side into the corner, Williams.
Yes,
good look
yes.
Down low and blocked from the backside, but a foul called on Abbey. Has a good look to Carl flashing down the lane. And a foul called on Abbey from the backside. Picks up number 2. We're all the way at the opposite end of the floor. It looked pretty clean from Buck here, but that's not the way the official saw it. And the Streaks have a chance to build a double-digit lead here with 3:44 to go third quarter.
Looked pretty good from where Sean Taylor, the Quincy coach, was standing, too. He had a problem with that. I was shocked that
he was still talking down there. There's nobody within 30 feet of him.
You know, the fact that Abbey could get up and block that as Ryan hits the first free throw. I mean, Ryan's 6'5", and he went up strong. And still, with the athleticism from the backside, Abbey, giving up 5 inches, still got that ball.
Galesburg by 10, 31-21. Second free throw by Carl. High arcing shot drops through. All of Carl's points in the third quarter here are from the free throw line, and it's 32-21 Galesburg. 3:40 to go, third quarter. Fairly on the outside. Bad pass picked off by Carl. Outlet to Williams on the run out, up and in.
Absolutely perfect break for the Streaks. Excellent lead pass from Gibson to Williams. Fans are on their feet as the Streaks go up 13.
Timeout, Quincy, 3:29 to go, third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Oh, just a little further. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil.
Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
The run-and-gun Cardinals of Blue Island Eisenhower visit John Thiel Gym tomorrow night. I'm Brad Benowitz. Join us for an early start to Silver Streaks basketball at 6:10 tomorrow on WGIL.
I know that guy.
He's a really good announcer. You'll need to meet him someday.
3:29 to go in the third quarter here at John Thiel Gym. Silver Streaks by 13 over the first place and undefeated in the conference, Quincy Blue Devils, 34-21. Streaks are going to put a little token pressure on the ball in the backcourt. Martin Kvitly will bring it across midcourt. Now Cheeseman backs up. We'll pick him up defensively there. Streaks on a defensive switch. Now he passes it away to Abbey. Couldn't handle it, so he's got to back up. So that broke up that play. Now Abbey with a hesitation drive, trying to work something in on Joe Williams. He forces up a shot, and it crawls over the rim and drops through.
Well, I'm guessing Coach Reynolds would like to keep Trevon on the bench for the rest of the third quarter with those three fouls.
That snaps an 8-0 run by Galesburg. Carl on the outside, over to Cheeseman. Gibson flashing in the lane, gets it over to Meeker for three. Good again!
He is the dagger. When he can hit that ball, it makes such a difference for us to free up and get a couple of three-point shots.
Now a 14-point lead with 2:40 to go, third quarter. On the right side, Kvitly fakes a three, drives past Meeker. What a terrible shot off balance, but the offensive rebound by Mellon, and he's fouled, and he gets a chance at a three-point play.
Oh, that's too bad. Mellon saved Kvitly with a terrible shot. Mellon very active. He's not the smoothest guy in there, but he really is an active player and gives us a problem with his 6'4 frame coming in from that spot.
So Ryan Carl picks up his third foul now, with Diggins on the bench also with three. Three team fouls for the Streaks as well. 2:36 to go, third quarter. Mellon will go to the free throw line with that awkward free throw shooting style we talked about in the first half. He missed both. First one here is up and in and out, and Marcus Ross gets the rebound.
We're
so he could not finish the three-point play.
Quincy throw bad passes and miss free throws in ways that we don't normally see a Blue Devil team do.
Ross, good look, left side, Meeker. Ross got around his man on the baseline, then shot it through the lane over to Meeker, who laid it in. Ethan has eight in the quarter, and Galesburg back up by 14. 39-24. Now on the left side, a fake by Burry, drives in, got the baseline, but then came up short on the shot. Offensive rebound, Salrin, and then he gets pushed on the putback, and he's going to get two free throws here.
Quincy staying alive in this right now just by hitting the boards on the offensive end, getting second chances, because their first shots are not good. But sheer effort getting them back to the free throw line, where they've not been real sharp, but trying to hang in there.
Fourth team foul, on Galesburg. Salrin makes the first free throw. First foul of the game on Carson Cheeseman. Zach Burry sits down for the Blue Devils. Mason Fairley back into the game, joining Abbey, Kvitly, Salrin, and Mellon. 2:08 to go, third quarter, 39-26 Galesburg. Second free throw by Salrin on the way, and well short. Rebound came back hard at Grant Gibson. He couldn't control it. Kvitly got it on the outside. It rolls off the rim and knocked out of bounds. Last touch by Cheeseman. So again, Quincy getting more opportunities with it here. Thirteen-point lead on the inbound. Fairley driving right side, dishes it through the lane, and that bunny won't go under the basket. And another foul on the rebound. They're going to call Cheeseman on that one. Salrin gets the offensive rebound.
What's this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 tries at the basket this trip down. So they're definitely giving the effort.
And two personal fouls in the possession as well for the Silver Streaks. On the inbound out high to Fairley. Now on the left side, Kvitly. Mike Reynolds getting frustrated that they can't get the ball out of this end. Kvitly drives, dishes left side fairly, drives baseline. He'll kick it back out to Abbey. He finds penetration in the lane and forces up a shot, and again it drops through. He doesn't make it easy on himself getting inside there, but he gets the shots down. Galesburg by 12.
Well, he wasn't hitting anything from the outside in the first half. I think maybe Coach Sean Taylor said, well, let's quit the three ball and do something inside, draw some fouls, and it worked on that possession.
So we'd say Galesburg by 11, 39-28. Ross on the outside, now Cheeseman. Here comes Meeker out high, but fighting through the screen. Burry gets out on, or rather, Kvitly gets out on top of him. So Ethan drives. He gets blocked on the shot and then knocked out of bounds by Mellon under the basket.
And all of a sudden, after a couple of three-point shots, Quincy said, all right, let's get out there. They sent Kvitly out on him because Ethan was going to let it fly again. But the senior came out, prevented that. Silver Streaks, though, get the ball underneath their own basket.
Cheeseman left of the basket, lofts it out high to Grant Gibson, who hasn't touched it a whole lot here in this half. We got a minute to go, third quarter. Silver Streaks lead by 11. So Grant drives, dishes it back out. Williams, good pass down low to Denzel Jones in the lane. He can't get the shot over the rim. Rebound knocked around. Out of bounds, last touch by Galesburg.
Silver Streaks getting active on their own offensive glass, but not able to control at that time as the Blue Devils have come back with a chance to cut this thing under double digits.
It's an 11-point Galesburg lead, 50 seconds to go, third quarter. Streaks in a 1-3-1. Kvitly on the right side, thought about shooting over it. Now, good inlet pass. Good defense by Carson Cheeseman. Salrin took it at him, and he just ran right into Carson, who came up with the loose ball. Gibson across midcourt. Let's see if the Streaks want to hold for the final 40 seconds of this quarter and get the last shot. Cheeseman to the corner to Denzel Jones, kicked out of bounds as he tried to get it back to Cheeseman. Galesburg will inbound it with 28 seconds to go.
Well, in the first half, Quincy would have just let us hold the ball. I'm not sure they're going to be content to do that now.
Silver Streaks played three very good quarters down at Quincy, especially in the third quarter, but then gave up a lead in the first 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. This one shaping up through the first three quarters to be the same way. Gibson, tough pass in the lane to Denzel Jones and a bad pass. Picked off by the Blue Devils, leading the break, Kvitly. Left side, Abbey for three, and it's good.
Here they come.
That was a dagger, but still 12 seconds to go. Now Gibson has his pocket picked by Abbey. Denzel Jones trying to get it back from Kvitly, fouls him from the backside. But that prevented probably a Quincy basket, 16 fouls on the streak, so the Blue Devils will have to inbound.
Now this last 2 minutes of the third quarter, if Quincy comes back to win, going to be very key. They kept the ball alive several possessions, then have forced two sloppy Galesburg turnovers. The Devils looking for another basket here.
3.9 seconds to go. Fairley on the inbounds, gets it to Mellon, right back to Fairley, heaves it at the buzzer and under the basket. Kvitly almost got an offensive rebound for the putback. Galesburg still by eight. They actually extend the lead by one since halftime. 39-31 after three. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen. By Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
WGIL congratulates John Wood of Galesburg, who was spotted wearing the WGIL button and won $20. Congratulations, John, from WGIL.
39-31, Galesburg. Leading first place Quincy as we get ready to start the fourth quarter. Silver Streaks will have the ball. Trevon Diggins back into the game and a foul on Abbey in the backcourt as he tries to go for the steal on Joe Williams on the inbound. And if he'd gotten the steal, he'd had a breakaway. And he winces in frustration that he picked up his third foul instead. And that happened 1 second into the fourth quarter. Fourth team foul on Quincy. Williams inbounds to Denzel Jones. He gives it right back to Joe. Bad spot. Wide open under the basket. Good pass to Gibson. Pump fake over the basket. Put back Marcus Ross.
Hello, Marcus. Big spot for his first bucket of the night.
On senior night, Galesburg by 10 now. 41-31. Just underway in the fourth quarter. Silver Streak's trying to hand Quincy its first loss in the conference. Good look down low to Salrin. All kinds of contact. They're going to get Ross from the front. I think they did, and if so, that's the third on Marcus. And the seventh team foul on Galesburg, so Quincy's in the bonus the rest of the way.
Well, this one's really heating up. 10-point Galesburg lead looking for, well, you know, I guess you'd have to consider it an upset if we win this one, with Quincy being undefeated in the conference. But Galesburg looking to be every bit their equal, if not better, so far tonight.
First free throw by Salrin is good. 41-32, just underway in the fourth quarter. Galesburg leads by 9. Salrin with 8 in the game, now 9 as he makes both free throws. The big man's been their best free throw shooter of the night. He's made 3 of 4. Williams will bring it across midcourt for the Streaks. Trevon Diggins back on the floor for the Silver Streaks as he's the only player in foul trouble with 3. Ryan Carl is on the bench he's back out on the floor as well, also playing with 3. Top of the arc, Ross. Gibson was cutting back door. Quincy read it on the outside. Diggins has a pocket picked by Abby. Stolen away by the Blue Devils. Abby trying to cross over Carl, and then he lost it on the way up. They're going to say Galesburg got a hand on it, knocked it out of bounds. So good job to get back defensively. Boy, he was cutting left. Ryan Carl was in front of him, running right with him. Every time he went left, Abby tried to go right and back again. And just not enough room between them for Abby ever to really free himself up. Fairly drives, tries to dump it off, and overthrows Salrin because Ryan Carl was in the lane defending, and he had to get it up high over Carl, and he ended up getting it too high for Salrin to come down with it.
That's at least the third time Quincy has tried that pass from over from near their bench to where our broadcast facility is in this corner, and they just don't put enough mustard on the ball, and they end up turning it over.
10 turnovers in the game for Quincy. Streaks have 7. Galesburg with an 8-point lead, 41-33, under 7 minutes to go. Right side, Ross, drives baseline, got freed up, laid it up and in.
Moved with authority that time, Marcus Ross taking it to the hole.
43-33, Galesburg back on top by 10. First two baskets of the fourth quarter by Ross. Here's a jumper missed by Abby, knocked out of bounds. And I thought Quincy over the top of Grant Gibson knocked it out, but they're going to say that Gibson touched it last, so Quincy hangs on to it here.
Gibson and Salrin really getting after each other on that one.
10-point Galesburg lead, 6:34 to play. On the inbounds, Carl tries to get it away from Salrin on the inbound, and then Salrin reached in, and when he reached in on Carl, the two of them got tangled up, and that's an awfully tough foul on Ryan. His fourth, no less.
You know, I think he's had so many of those calls this year, he doesn't even react anymore. He's had a lot of tough foul calls on him in spots this season just because he's 6'5" and
right.
Sometimes in the wrong place.
Well, maybe justice prevails as Ross rebounds the missed free throw by Salrin. So they come away with no points on that end. 10-point Galesburg lead. Now a reach in on Gibson. A double team out high, and Coach Mike Reynolds calls timeout. Grant says he got kind of poked in the face there.
Well, whatever the case, teams have started to go after Grant more, especially from behind. Grant gets really focused on scoring the ball that time, though. He was just out near half court and got the double team. They reached around and tied him up. Good timeout. I think their use of a 30-second one to save the possession by Mike Reynolds.
Silver Streaks 5 of 9 that quarter shooting the ball?
And 14 of 35 for the game. They've hit 2 out of 3 here early in the fourth quarter to hang on and actually build up to a 10-point lead with the ball.
Also made both of their three-point shots thanks to Ethan Meeker putting up 8 points in that third quarter. On the inbound to Marcus Ross, his front foot almost slid into the backcourt. Now right side Diggins, fake left, drives right, cut off on the baseline. Somebody's open, it's Ross on the outside with the pass. They also had Gibson in the left corner, but they pass it right instead. Williams with it on the elbow, brings it around to the top of the arc. Now they get it over to Graham on the left elbow. 6 minutes to go in the game, Silver Streaks by 10. Gibson, left corner, Ross, another 3. That one airballs. He overthrew the basket. Salrin on the weak side with his 9th rebound.
Quincy really has cranked up their defense here in this fourth quarter.
Kvitly drives into the right corner. Here's Burry for 3, and he makes that one. His first basket since the first quarter. He has 8 for the game. Quincy down 7 now, 43-36. In the backcourt, Gibson trying to free himself up, working against Fairley. Now there's a little bump. Here comes the double team. Grant throws it away. They're getting what they need. Here's a drive by Burry. Hesitation. Now the Streaks knock it away from behind as Diggins cuts it loose. And picking up the loose ball, Ross in the lane. Now left side, Gibson. to Marcus. 5:20 to go in the game. Streaks trying to build that 7-point lead back up toward or into double figures.
Love the steal by Trevon, a big momentum switcher. If Quincy gets a basket there off the turnover from Gibson, they're right back in it.
Diggins drives, dumps it over. Gibson on the right side, blocked as he goes to the basket, and that's four on the game on Cole Abbey now. And Grant will get two free throws. This is Grant's first free throw in 2 weeks.
How does that happen? Cole Abbey and Salron both collapsing on Gibson that time. Abbey flying by, got him, I think, as much on the back as anything else.
Rock Island leads United Township 51-34 after three quarters, and Grant looks like he hasn't shot a free throw in 2 weeks. Missed the first one. Has 2 points in the half, only eight for the game. Didn't shoot a free throw at all in that controversial game against Moline last week, which the Silver Streaks got whistled 22 times to only nine for Moline, and Grant missed them both. That hurts, and Quincy gets the rebound. Here come the Blue Devils into the front court. At the free throw line, Fairley is cut off. Now he has it back in the midcourt circle. Right side, Kvitly, a long three, but it's off the back of the rim, and the long rebound batted out to Kvitly. He'll set it up again from the right side. Here's Abbey for three. That one won't go. Carl gets a hand on the rebound. Diggins comes in, and now Abbey over his shoulder ties up Trevon Diggins, and instead of a foul from the backside over the top, a held ball is called, and Galesburg gets it back, or rather, Quincy gets it back.
I'm looking at the Quincy fans. They're over there laughing. They know they got a big break on
that
one.
So on the inbound, Kvitly. A bullet pass to the high post. Salron with a fadeaway won't go, and now Kvitly comes down with a rebound, and Carl reaching out to get it. Kvitly ran into Ryan Carl's arms, and Ryan Carl just fouled out of the game.
Now, Quincy,
tough way to finish senior night for Ryan Carl.
It was. Just again reached out for the ball, and Kvitly happened to fly by, and so he got it. And I'll tell you what, Quincy just trying to gut out a win here right now, because they can't make many shots, but they're just keeping after it, and they keep the ball alive, and it still makes me nervous. They're only down seven with Kvitly shooting free throws here, and we got a lot of time left.
4:37 to play in the game. Mike Reynolds said in the pregame, call it whatever you want, but he said, I told the kids this week they need to man up, and this is the time right here.
Well, and Quincy is a senior-dominated lineup. You know, Coach Sean Taylor told us these guys have been in these situations before, so you got to figure they're going to be heard from down the stretch.
Second free throw, good by Kvitly. He was only 2 of 6 from the free throw line in the first half. 43-38, Quincy now down five. A sophomore, Lincoln Elby at 5'8", checks into the game for the first time as they get Cole Abbey out with those four fouls. On the inbound to Diggins. Gives it right side to Jones. Driving in, and a block by Salron going to the basket. Loose ball chased down into the corner by Zach Murray. Into the front court, Kvitly. Here's Fairley for three. That one's off the front of the rim. Gibson comes up with his 10th rebound. That would have been a big one for Quincy, but a big miss for the Silver Streaks instead. Still leading by five with still over 4 minutes to play in this fourth quarter. On the left side, Diggins driving in. Inside the free throw line. Shoots and scores. Full timeout by Mike Reynolds with Galesburg back up 7. 45-38, 4:03 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL is proud to be a part of our community.
Hi, this is Chris LeGros from WGIL. Galesburg Heritage Days presents an evening with the Lincolns on Friday, February 15th at 7 p.m. at the Orpheum Theater. Suitable for upperclassmen and adults, including a Q&A session afterwards with Abe and Mary Todd. Get all of the info at WGIL.com.
This community announcement is brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Involved and invested in Galesburg. The Rush Limbaugh Show, weekday afternoons 12 to 3 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Halfway through the fourth quarter, Silver Streaks with a 7-point lead over Quincy, 45-38, coming out of a full Galesburg timeout. Ryan Carl has already fouled out of the game. Trevon Diggins and Marcus Ross are each playing with three fouls. For Quincy, Cole Abbey has four fouls. Jason Salron has three, and Martin Kvitly has played the entire second half without picking up his third foul. Nobody else for Quincy has a foul. Kvitly will bring it across midcourt. trying to lose Joe Williams. Drives into the paint, draws some contact, missed the shot, and then he gets the rebound back with more contact. Now Denzel Jones, again a tie-up over the back of Denzel Jones, and a held ball gives it back to Galesburg this time. Boy, Quincy is attacking all over the place, and they're getting the benefit of it.
Well, and the Galesburg fans are usually a pretty docile bunch, but we got a bunch of Silver Streak faithful on their feet shouting right now, so everybody's getting into this one.
Full court pressure by Quincy on the inbound, batted away by the Blue Devils, knocked out of bounds by Mason Fairley, who tried to sell it, but Denzel Jones touched it, but the officials weren't buying that one. So now Williams again to pull the trigger on the inbound. Well defended on the inbound. They do get it into Jones. He gets it off to Williams across midcourt. At the free throw line, dishes it back out to Marcus Ross. Still 3:40 to go in the game. 7-point Galesburg lead. Joe all the way to the basket.
All the way, buddy. You can see it up here. The opening was there, and Joe took it all the way in.
He saw it, recognized it in time. He's got 4 for the quarter, 12 for the half. And at the other end, a foul on Diggins on Cole Abbey, who took it right at Tremont, who picked up his fourth foul. 9 team fouls on Galesburg, 3:29 to go in the game. I'm sorry, that's their 10th team foul of the half. And Abbey shoots 2. He made 2 free throws in the first quarter. He has 11 points for the game.
Well, I've got to think that Abbey won't be around much. He's so aggressive on both ends of the court. You've got to think there's a chance he's going to pick up that fifth foul pretty soon.
So Abbey will go to the line.
We have, I think a fan is going to get a warning here from the officials.
First free throw, short, but it's a two-shot foul. Principal Roy Van Meter is looking in the crowd, and he's now giving the finger wave to somebody to come down and talk.
Ralph Henning there as well.
Second free throw is badly missed to the right. Quincy saves it on the baseline, but it's deflected back to Grant Gibson. Two bad free throws by Cole Abbey. And the Silver Streaks nearly turn it over. Gibson down the left side. Blocked. Rebound Jones. That one is blocked. Denzel back in the lane. Dribbles it. Tries to get it away. And a foul called on a reach-in.
Well, we had to be very persistent that time.
Boy.
We were going to get a call down there. And Quincy blocking everything we put up. But Jones was tenacious in there.
He was.
He was trying to get that thing back up. Finally kicked it out on the weak side. And the Streaks will get it back. And we got the fan. You know, it's interesting. Remember the fan thing we had in Quincy? We had an unruly Quincy fan going back to that game in December,
yeah,
too. So we got a similar situation here.
Not quite as volatile
no.
as it was down there, though. They were in the coaching staff's face for Galesburg.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll never forget Steve Cheeseman. They got under his skin.
The foul, by the way, was on Zach Burry. 6-team foul, so the Streaks had to inbound it. Under 3 minutes to go in the game, a 9-point Galesburg lead. Bad pass by Williams. Burry picks it up, lays it up and in at the other end.
Burry just sits there waiting for those, and that's, yeah, you can't pass it that way across the timeline.
47-40. Pass into the front court. Ross overthrows Gibson, and the Streaks turn it over on back-to-back possessions. With 2:43 to go in the game.
Well, you wonder, why isn't Quincy playing defense like this the whole game? But it takes it out of you. I'm not sure you can play 4 full quarters at this level of intensity.
Full timeout on the floor, 2:43 to go in the game. Silver Streaks still lead 47-40, but Quincy has the ball when we come back on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
2:43 to go in the game, 47-40. Mike Reynolds comes out of that full timeout, circles all the way around, says a few words to one of the officials about 20 feet away from him, looking down at the floor as he's saying it. After what happened last week with the foul called on Galesburg with 1.2 seconds to go, I don't think he wants to see any officiating going against him, and now Abbey drives in from the right side, and there's going to be a foul on the floor there. Now Mike's really showing his frustration on the sideline with all these calls going against Galesburg seemingly here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I agree on that one. I don't know if he had called. Marcus Ross is standing there with his hands up, and Abby initiates the contact. He's 10 feet from the basket. He can't even shoot from there, and he still gets the foul call.
And he misses the free throw. Four fouls, by the way, on Marcus Ross.
Well, and they officiate, and we've noticed this in many of these games, they officiate so much different late in the game than they do early in the game.
Yep. Abby makes the second free throw, so now Quincy pulls back within six at 47-41, 2:36 to go in the game. Rock Island has defeated United Township 61-51, so the Streaks need to win to stay tied for second in the conference. On the inbound, Williams, a tough pass, but there's Jones. Somehow Trevon flicks the ball to himself, drives all the way and lays it in just underneath a flying Cole Abbey.
I don't know how he got that up there.
Quick three by Kvitli, circles in and out. Abbey with a rebound, put back and a foul. And
Greg Gibson got pushed clear down the lane into the pads and no call. Unbelievable how they didn't see that one.
And they're going to call it on Ross, so Marcus is fouled out of the game now. Marcus has fouled out. Ryan Carl has fouled out. Trevon Diggins has four fouls and a putback and a foul, and Quincy has a chance to cut it within five. Cole Abbey with three in the quarter, 10 for the half, 14 for the game. 2:22 to go in the game. Silver Streaks by six. Free throw is in and out. Grant Gibson with a rebound. And they tried to poke it away from the backside, but Grant held on to it. Across midcourt, Joe Williams. 2:10 to go in the game. This one's going to be a fight to the absolute finish. And now a reach-in foul call. Joe Williams double team. And there's the aggressive fifth foul that Jim Lee predicted about 3 minutes ago. Abbey fouls out, much to the delight of the Galesburg crowd.
I thought he might pick it up on the offensive end on a charge, but we never got that, but did get it right there. So he's a real spiritual lift to the Quincy team. Without him in there, they lose a lot of energy, so we'll see how they fare without Abbey, who goes to the end of the bench and puts his head down in his arms.
Well, he's our highest flyer, as evidenced by that near block he got with Trevon Diggins driving down the right side of the lane. Now the Streaks have to make free throws. Grant Gibson missed the only two free throw attempts of this fourth quarter. This is a 1-1 for Williams, and it's good.
Hey, Joe.
Three in the quarter. Five and a half, 13 in the game for Joe Williams.
Now, this is the most I've seen a Galesburg crowd into a game for quite a while. I think the nature of this one with as heat as this got down the stretch has really got everybody into this game.
And Joe misses the second one. Salrin with his 10th rebound, and then the Streaks steal it away. Now Williams on the outside, and another foul called as he tries to drive past Lincoln Elby, who kind of leaned into him from the waist. And Joe's going to go right back to the line, shooting a 1-1.
Yeah, it's funny, Joe, a lot of guys will get fouled and they'll wander around and everything and finally get to the line. Joe, he's the first guy on the lane. He ran up there, stuck his toe on the line. He wants these shots.
13 points on the night, 50-43. First one rolls through. Got a lot of the front of the rim, but it got over the top and dropped through. Galesburg by 8, 51-43.
It's great to see a guy that wants to be there, especially a sophomore.
Who matches his varsity career high. Two free throws, 15 for the game, which he also had last Friday night. Galesburg by 9, 2 minutes to go in the game. Fairly across midcourt. Drives it into the right side, pulls up at the high post, shoots and scores. First basket of the game for Mason Fairley, and Quincy calls timeout. Full timeout, 7-point Galesburg lead, 1:54 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Stay informed with Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Brad Vinowitz, Jim Lee with you from John Field Gymnasium.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on WGIL.
1:54 to go in the game here from John Field Gym. 52-45, Galesburg by 7. Silver Streaks will have the ball coming out of the Quincy timeout and a made basket. Cheeseman inbounds on the baseline into Joe Williams. Gets away from a man. They have a man down court. It's Jones. Now Gibson. Right side layup. Branson double figures now. 54-45 and a push foul called on the Silver Streaks in the backcourt. As Mike Reynolds will work the officials again. That's the third of the game on Joe Williams. Just getting too aggressive and not a smart foul there, having just gone back up by 9.
And Joe's done a lot of great things in this game, but he's had a couple of boneheaded fouls, one at the end of the first half and that one right there.
Puts Quincy at the free throw line with Mason Fairley. First run up and short. Well, Quincy hasn't done themselves any favors tonight from the free throw line.
They certainly have not. If they make a lion's share of their free throws, they're right in it.
Second free throw is good. Still an 8-point lead, 54-46. 1:43 to go in the game. Blue Devils keep on the full court press. Salrin will guard Cheeseman, who runs the baseline. Still looking. Now gets it into Trevon Diggins. He juggles it a little bit, draws a triple team, dribbles out of it, and he's fouled. Trevon will get a 1-1, and he's quickly down to the other end. Look at that. Nobody down there, but Trevon's at the free throw line ready to go, just like Williams was.
Yep. And will soon be in the double bonus. One foul away. So the next foul after this, we're in the double bonus.
Alex Shute late into the game here. 6-foot junior picks up his first foul. Wading back into the backcourt, Zach Burry, and Denzel Jones realizes who he's going to guard him 1-on-1 to prevent the outlet pass. As Diggins' first free throw is off the back of the rim, Gibson got away with a bump on Salrin coming down with a rebound. Into the front court quickly. Kvitli down the lane, blasted to the basket and laid it up and in. 54-48. Streaks into the front court. Good up court pass to Gibson. Tried to get it over to Jones, cutting in from the left side, and it's batted out of bounds.
Zach Burry saved a layup that time. He got that left arm up in the air, just trying anything to deflect it, and he did. Otherwise, we've got an easy bucket. I liked us taking it in strong that time because they're giving us the opportunity, 3-on-2, 2-on-1, to go at the basket.
1:26 to go in the game. Silver Streaks have to get it in. Carson Cheeseman. Quincy is well defending these. They get it in to Gibson, who just gets it away from Martin Kvitli. Now Diggins right side over to Gibson, and Kvitli comes in and fouls Trevon on the arm pretty hard, so they're going to put Trevon right back at the line because he is less than a 50% free throw shooter on the season. 35 of 72 after the missed free throw just a moment ago. But he is in the double bonus here.
It's just the third foul on Kvitli, who picked up two quick ones in the first quarter but hadn't committed one, or at least got called for one since.
And the first one, yes, roughs through. It kind of skiffed the front of the rim on the way up, and it got over the top, kind of hung on the back of the rim and just sat there for a little bit before dropping through. Galesburg by 7. Second free throw, good. That one was perfect. And Diggins has 12 in the game now. Galesburg back on top by 8, 56-48. Quick three by Kvitli. Over through the rim. Rebound, Cheeseman saves it to Grant Gibson. 13 rebounds on the game for Grant Gibson. With 1:09 to go, a long outlet pass intended for Diggins. He gets it to Kvitli, who stole it away. And there's Diggins batting it loose. Kvitli couldn't handle it, kicked it out of bounds. And Diggins was halfway down under the basket running away from that one because he was convinced he had caused that turnover, and he did.
Well, the officials weren't sure. They had to confer.
Yep.
And so dueling turnovers that time, the Streaks get it back with an 8-point lead and 1:05 to play.
Williams on the inbound into the lane to Ethan Meeker, and Mason Fairley, just playing defensive back there, reached up, batted it away, but got called for the foul, only his first. And Ethan Meeker will go to the free throw line, shooting two here. And Ethan only 63% on the season. He's better than that. First one up and in, and he showed it there.
Didn't hesitate at all. Delivered that thing pure. Let's get one more.
9 in the game for Meeker. 9 is the lead for the Silver Streaks with 1:04 to go. Second free throw. Galesburg by 10. Meeker in double figures with 10. All in the second half. 58-48. Cheeseman back in for the Silver Streaks. Diggins will stay on the floor with those four fouls. 1:04 to go in the game. They get it into Kvitli. Trying to cross over Trevon out high. Driving down the right side of the lane. Took it all the way up and in. And a quick timeout called by Quincy. They have one left.
Kvitli going to do that every time. Trevon doesn't want to commit that foul, and so he's not playing the tenacious defense that we're used to from Trevon, and Kvitli taking advantage of that, just blowing down the right side of the lane two times in a row for an easy layup.
Silver Streaks had six turnovers in the game coming into this final quarter. Jim, I've got them for five in this quarter.
Yeah. Well, and again, that's all about Quincy's pressure. I mean, the first half, they didn't do anything.
Right.
I mean, they just sat back and a half-court sagging man, and it's been a whole different story here in the second half. And much like what Gelsberg did to Moline last week, we didn't do anything for a long time.
Yeah,
and
right.
Then, you know, late in the fourth quarter, we were heroic on defense and nearly pulling that game out.
Quincy has also turned it over five times in this quarter. Silver Streaks led by eight at the end of three. They still lead by eight. Williams double team, and they foul Carson Cheeseman as he gets the pass away. Fairley reaches in and fouled him. And Cheeseman only 6 of 14 from the free throw line on the season. So Quincy definitely knows who to put up the line. Diggins under 50%. They had Ryan Carl at the free throw line earlier, who's just over 50%, but he made him pay, making 3 out of 4. Now Carson's got to make a couple here with 55 seconds to go in the game. The lefty shoots the first one, and that one's way too strong off the back of the rim.
Well, the nice part is with the double bonus, if we could even make 1 out of 2 on a couple of trips with an 8-point lead, you'll feel pretty good. Carson's going to have to put a lot softer touch on this one, because that last one was that was plenty strong.
He was doing some bending at the knees there, waiting for the ball to come back to him on the second one. The second one is off the back of the rim again. Mason Fairley with a rebound. Streaks miss an opportunity there. Quickly into the front court. He gets it right side over to Elby. Right back to Kvitli for three. Looked like it was good, but he came up a little bit short. Elby with a rebound. Kvitli sidesteps a man in the lane, takes it all the way up and in, and Quincy uses its final timeout.
So the missed free throw starting to come back to haunt us a little bit here. 6-point game with 40 seconds left, and you can bet we're going to spend some more time at the free throw line.
How did Elby sneak in there at only 5'8 and get that offensive rebound?
Yeah, they've done that a lot in this one. I've got them for, let's see, 19 offensive rebounds tonight.
Wow, that's not good. I've got Kvitli with 8 points in the quarter. He had only 4 points coming into the fourth quarter.
But, you know, he still
can't. But he's also shot it.
Oh, yeah.
8 times.
From the outside, he still can't find the range.
We've been, 0 for 5.
We've been fortunate to catch him on a night where he's just not had it, other than getting some layups and making a few free throws, and he's even struggled at the line at times. So.
Well, the last one down here was, I thought, his best shot of the night. It looked like, we had a perfect angle on it shooting right toward us, and it looked like it was right on the line, but it ended up short.
Yeah, I think he was, he had the pose after that one. I think he felt like that was going in, and it didn't either.
So 40 seconds to go. Galesburg by 6 with the ball. Full court press by Quincy. Williams runs, gets the outlet to Denzel Jones. That's got to be an intentional foul. He just got pushed from the backside by Alex Shute.
Nope, won't get it.
Mike Reynolds is barking for it. That was just out there in front of everybody. He just pushed him. He just reached from the backside and just pushed him. He didn't even try to reach around and grab him.
I think a lot of times the result more dictates the call. If he pushes him and he goes into the wall, you'll probably get the call. But Denzel, with good balance, just did a little spin there. And so you just get the regular foul call.
And Denzel misses the free throw. Streaks have missed their last 3 from the free throw line. 3 for 6, 7, 8, 9. 5 for 11, 12. 7 for 14 from the free throw line in this fourth quarter. Streaks could be putting this away here, but they're not. Second free throw, way short. And Kvitli gets the rebound. It's still a two-possession game. Kvitli drives in, off balance, missed it badly, and then Denzel Jones with the rebound got knocked to the floor and out of bounds, and Quincy gets it back.
Still 31 seconds left. Quincy hits a shot here. It's anybody's game.
In the lane, Fairley is fouled. They get it in, and Denzel fouled it. So Fairley's going to go to the line shooting 2 with 30 seconds to go.
Quincy is grinding right down to the very end, and the Silver Streaks obliging by missing a bunch of free throws. But, you know, we don't have it looks like Meeker's. I wondered if maybe Ethan wouldn't check in. It gives you a better free throw shooter when you get on offense here.
Barely makes the first.
He's going to replace Denzel. Yeah, good move by Coach Mike Reynolds. I like this. Denzel's given us some real good things tonight, but he wasn't close on the free throws.
58-53. If Fairley misses, imperative for the Streaks to get the rebound. And he does miss. And they nearly do, and fairly, or rather Kvitly sliding, and he got lucky because he was trying to call timeout. Quincy doesn't have any. So somebody got in there, poked it loose. It kind of was falling to nobody there on the left side. That allowed Kvitly to dive through the lane, get a hand on it. But then he slides out of bounds. Now they do get it inbound to Meeker, and a quick foul by Fairley.
And we'll see if this doesn't pay dividends, Coach, going with Meeker at the line instead of Denzel Jones here with 26 seconds left. Quincy doesn't waste any time. They don't let seconds go off the clock before they commit the foul.
Nope, only 3.5 seconds since the missed free throw, and that included the chase after the rebound and then the immediate foul on the inbound.
Silver Streaks again will just give the rebound as Meeker all alone on the lane with four Quincy players, and he swishes the first one.
The second one would make it a two-possession game if Ethan can knock it down with 26.4 seconds to go. He's working that 63% from the free throw line up with four beautiful free throws here in the fourth quarter. 60-53, Galesburg by 7.
Meeker gets a low five from Coach Reynolds. Jones back in for defense now.
Kvitly quickly into the front court, 24 seconds to go. Drives inside the free throw line, dumps it off to Sauerin under the basket, and he gets fouled going up for it. Grant Gibson picks up his first foul, and Sauerin will go to the line with 19.5 seconds to go. 3-for-5 from the line in the game for Jason Sauerin. 9 points tonight. 19.5 seconds to go. He could get it back to a two-possession game here with two free throws. First one is short.
When you get as far behind as Quincy did and play uphill all night, you've got to play nearly perfect down the stretch. They've played hard. They've played pretty well in the last quarter, but they haven't played perfect. They've missed some opportunities that the Silver Streaks have given them.
They are only 7 of 15 from the free throw line in this fourth quarter. And the second one is good. So back to a two-possession game, 60-54. Quincy will try to steal the inbound here. 19.5 seconds to go. Cheeseman runs the baseline. Looking. Then he just throws it off. Bad idea. Deflected off Sauerin right over to Fairley, who laid it up and in. Down to a four-point game. Silver Streaks are going to take as much time as they can on the inbound. And now it's deflected out of bounds. Last touch by Quincy in the near corner below us with 11 seconds to go.
If you're going to throw it off somebody's leg, you can't wind up like that. It gives them too much time to move.
Right. So now Cheeseman will have to inbound with Sauerin, the tallest player on the inbound. He throws it behind Diggins, who chases it down, slips and falls. Ball on the floor. We got a scramble for it and a tie-up. And Quincy's getting it back on the alternating possession with 6.3 seconds to go.
This is incredible. I mean, it's still a two-possession game, thank goodness. Man, it's like a football game trying to end.
Twice in this game as the Streaks call their final timeout, so neither team has a timeout remaining. We've seen Quincy shoot free throws with no time showing on the clock twice in this game. And if we're going to see it here again at the end, that's not going to be good.
No, no.
Because that means that, well, I don't want to talk about fouling on a three-point play, but on a three-point shot, I mean, but that's what it's going to have to take for Quincy here as they get the ball back with 6.3 seconds to go and the Streaks leading by 4.
Well, this is one of those that, for the most of the evening, we played well enough to win this rather comfortably. But Quincy, you've got to give them credit. On a night when they have struggled offensively, they have been tenacious in the second half.
Yeah, they have.
And I think Kvitly was certainly one of their leaders, and of course so was Abby before he fouled out. And they have fought and clawed and scratched for every inch of the court they could get. And hopefully they're going to come up just a little bit short as the Silver Streaks try and hold them off.
On the inbound, Kvitly gets it right back from Fairley. He leans in on Diggins under the basket. Sauerin.
Sauerin
rebounds the offensive putback, and we've got a whistle. I looked up. There was 1.3 seconds on the clock. Neither team has a timeout, but did Sean Taylor call a timeout just to stop the clock? Because Galesburg was not going to have to inbound it. We saw Mike Reynolds pull this strategy. Was it last year or the year before? Knowing that he's going to get the technical foul, but he has to stop the clock. Galesburg crowd reacts to the fact that it's a technical foul called, but
it's
strategically,
your only hope at that
that's
point.
His only shot, right.
So Gibson will get a free throw here, and then the Streaks to get the ball back, but at least the clock has stopped to give Quincy a chance. Gibson trying to give us a three-point lead before we inbound.
60-58, 2.4 seconds to go, and he makes the first one. And as Jim said, Galesburg will get the ball back because it's a technical foul, but if Grant makes a second free throw, it ought to be academic anyway. Ought to be. That's not to say Quincy's not going to foul him right away on the inbound before they can even get it in. Second free throw coming is good. So that ought to do it. As Galesburg will get the ball back, 2.4 seconds to go. And let's see how Quincy wants to play this one strategically. Cheeseman will get it at half court. On the inbounds, and he throws it in. Kvitli has to let it go out of bounds. Nobody touched it.
Yeah. Right,
so
idea,
no time,
but
goes off
wrong
the
direction.
Yeah, Mark.
Throw that ball toward the basket.
Joe Williams wasn't even looking for it. So on the inbound to Kvitli, steps into a three. It's off the back of the rim, and that's the ball game. Big win for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. They knock off the conference undefeated Quincy Blue Devils, who dropped a 6-1. Galesburg within a game of first place, still tied with Rock Island at 5-2, and heading to the Rock Garden next Friday night. 62-58 post-game show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Play-by-play coverage of Silver Streaks boys basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Craddy Insurance, one office for all your insurance needs. By Bates Collision Center in Galesburg, we take the decision out of collision. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By McDonald's, I'm loving it. OSF St. Mary Medical Center, altogether better. Breed Love Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Galesburg's radio station for news, talk, and Silver Streaks basketball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Just finished your book? Now you need to call your daughter to take you to the library. Ran out of a few necessities? Well, maybe your son can take you to the store after he gets off work. Your buddy invited you and some of your guys over to watch the game. Now let's see, who haven't you bugged for a ride lately?
When you call Handy Van, we'll take you anywhere within the Galesburg city limits, and you won't be bugging us at all. If a temporary or permanent disability prevents you from using the city bus or operating a vehicle, allow us to take you. Handy Van, helping you live independently.
Green is in. Many of us are eco-friendly by driving hybrid cars, recycling, and even growing our own vegetables. Craddy Insurance, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance agency in Galesburg, can help put more green back in your pocket. Ask us about details of a money-saving auto home discount. If your auto and home are both insured with Rockford Mutual Insurance, you can save dollars off your premiums. Call me, Mark Craddy, at Craddy Insurance for more information today and start saving.
The official WGIL forecast, snow tonight with an accumulation of 1 to 2 inches. Not as cold with lows down around 16, temperatures rising into the 20s after midnight. Tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of snow, high of about 27. Tomorrow night, cloudy with a 50% chance of snow, lows down around 20. And finally, Sunday, sunny with a high of 28. Sunday night, cloudy with a low down around 18. Currently, it is 15 at WGIL.
Final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds. WGIL's coverage of GHS boys basketball continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Surprisingly easy win for the Galesburg boys basketball team tonight.
Shut
Quincy.
Your mouth. Oh, man.
No, they upset something. The Blue Devils 62-58 in a battle right down to the final seconds. Like Quincy really had the Streaks backpedaling there in that fourth quarter. I mean, this one really made me, really reminded me of a boxing match. You know, just pound, pound. Two teams just pound, pound, back and forth. It's like, how much can you take? How much of that Quincy pressure was Galesburg going to withstand in the fourth quarter? And yet they still managed to take. And then they'd get a score on the other end. Okay, how much is Quincy going to be able to come back? And they do. And it was just, like you said, Jim, grinded out at the end. They made that fourth quarter last forever. It was exactly what they needed to do, and they almost made it work all the way to the end.
This seems to be the theme of this season in the Western Big Six, because you think about it, when when we played United Township, thought that game was over, 30-10 at halftime.
Oh, that's right.
And the Panthers came back and dragged the thing out, and we missed a bunch of free throws, and it nearly cost us, and we survived in a close win. Then we did the same thing with Moline last week. We got behind, trailed the whole game, just like Quincy did here tonight, and just fought and clawed our way back, tied the thing, nearly won it before Moline escaped with a narrow win. And then tonight, tables are turned. We did the Moline thing. We led the whole game and then just had to hang on at the end for dear life. So I think the conference is a little low on marquee players, on guys that are just tremendous performers down the stretch.
Yep.
And so I think what you're seeing is the grittiness and the effort is just making things really tough for all these teams. And, I mean, Rock Island went down there and played Quincy an overtime game a few weeks ago when the Rocks were down 7 and had to claw their way back in before Quincy barely held on to win. So we've seen the conference better talent-wise on many occasions, but competitively, especially with the top four teams, who knows on any given night. And if you get ahead, that's no guarantee that you're going to have a walk. In fact, it's probably a guarantee you're going to have a tough time down the stretch.
I had Quincy for 60 shots tonight. And they had about 1,000 rebounds, it seemed like.
Yes, I had 59, so yeah, okay, oh, 60 shots. Okay.
And yet, well, it was the same story last week. Again, the comparison to the Moline game. Moline only got 25 shots all night, made 15 of them, if I remember right. And the Silver Streaks got, well, let me look, 53 shots. And yet they were the ones who lost. And here tonight, Quincy gets 60 shots, and they fall to Galesburg 62-58. So again, let's repeat, because the magnitude of this game for Galesburg to still really be in this conference race. Rock Island got exactly what it needed. Galesburg got what it needed. And now Galesburg controls a little bit more of their own destiny as they travel to Rock Island next week. They are tied for second with each other, still a game behind Quincy. So best case scenario for Galesburg now. They've split with Quincy. It's going to be awfully tough. I mean, I don't know if you can emphasize enough how difficult it's going to be to win that game at Rock Island next week. But the Streaks have to win. And then they need Rock Island to beat Quincy when Quincy goes up there.
Yeah.
That would create at least a tie. And maybe they get really lucky and Moline pulls one off over the Blue Devils, too. Who knows?
We rarely play well at Rock Island.
That's right.
Tough court to shoot at. But, you know, the Rocks team is a good team, but make no mistake, it's not the Pete Michael, Monte Jenkins, or even the Chason Randall Rocks. This is a good Rocks team, but one that's we've proven to be beatable.
Yes.
So we made a lot of fans in Rock Island tonight.
That's right.
I think the only people happier than the Galesburg fans to win this are the ones up in Rock Island that were hoping that we could take care of the Blue Devils for them down here. We did just that. And Quincy, again, they played really hard tonight, but they looked very, very human. I thought that they would probably roll in here and seem like they had been progressing as the season went along, and I thought that they would probably come in here and really be tougher than they were the first time we played them. I thought, well, maybe we caught them at a time where they weren't gelling, but while they played hard, they did some un-Quincy-like things tonight, especially from the free throw line.
Yeah.
And especially in terms of ball handling through the middle quarters, I thought they did a little bit better job late. But the way they played early, similar to Galesburg last week, they played poor during a number of stretches early in the game, and it negated them from being able to finally come back and get it done when they finally played well late. So, and you know, you look at the way Quincy scored, too. The whole game changed because, as I said, there's Trevon Diggins out there with four fouls. He doesn't want to pick up his fifth foul, and we've got an 8 or 10 point lead.
Yeah, we already lost two seniors on senior night to foul trouble. We didn't need to lose a third.
And so the complexion changes. He's having to play Ole defense on Kvitli, who just drives by and gets shots that there's no way he's going to get in the first and second quarters.
Right.
And just the nature of the fouls and the way the game was playing out, I think, allowed Quincy to come back, even though they weren't making a lot of shots from the perimeter, and they were getting to a lot of the loose balls late. seemed like every time the shot went up, even on a free throw, you were nervous that they were going to get the rebound because, well, they had 22 offensive rebounds tonight for the Blue Devils, 43 for the game. And so they were a tough matchup on the glass. And the Silver Streaks, again, you can point different guys throughout the course. Anytime you have a game like this, Joe Williams, I thought, first half with his energy and some shot making. Ethan Meeker stepped up, hit a couple of big threes for us in that second half. Certainly Grant throughout the course of the game. And, I mean, you can go on down the line. Marcus Ross, a couple of big baskets
at
a key time.
Denzel Jones was a big lift off the bench.
He certainly was with his energy. And so truly a team win, as it was when they beat Rock Island down here, and that's what it takes as you look at different points of the game and see the outcome. 62-58, Galesburg wins it.
Our final stats brought to you by McDonald's. I'm loving it. And, Jim, let's start off with the team numbers.
Galesburg hits 43% from the field. Silver Streaks 20 of 46 for the night. Spent a lot of time at the free throw line late trying to secure this thing. Meanwhile, Quincy got off 22 shots in the fourth quarter. They hit 9 of those. In fact, they had only had 11 field goals the whole game up until the fourth quarter when they hit 9. 20 of 60, pretty easy to calculate that, 33% for Quincy for the night. Rebounding edge to the Blue Devils, we showed it 43-33. And again, Quincy with actually one more offensive rebound than they had defensive. They just pounded the glass. And turnovers, another interesting turn of events, because at halftime we had only 3. And you're thinking, well, we're going to win the turnover battle, but Quincy ended up with 14 on the night. The Silver Streaks with 9, count of 9 fourth-quarter turnovers, had 15, nearly cost us the game with some sloppy handling down the stretch. But able to hold on, made just enough free throws to keep them at bay.
Galesburg 14-12 now, 5-2 in the Western Big Six. Quincy drops to 15-5 and 6-1 in the Western Big Six. Take a look at the rest of the team numbers. Quincy 3 of 13 from three-point range. Silver Streaks were 4 of 12 behind the arc. Free throw shooting, Galesburg was 16 of 24. Not great, but not bad. Only 11 of 18 in the fourth quarter. Quincy, 15 of 31 from the free throw line. Big difference when you lose by 4.
Yeah,
to
wow.
Shoot.
So they missed more than they made from the line.
Yeah.
I don't know that we've ever seen that before, have we?
I don't know. Take a look at the individual scoring. Blue Devils did put 4 players in double figures. Cole Abbey led the way with 14. Martin Kvitli and Jason Salarin each had 12. Zach Burry finished with 10, and Mason Fairley had 8. So four of the 5 starters accounted for a good chunk of those. Off the bench, Cole Abbey had 14. Alex Shute, Lincoln Elby did not score for the Blue Devils. For the Silver Streaks, Joe Williams leads Galesburg in scoring tonight. Back-to-back games with his career-high 15. And how about 4 players in double figures for the Streaks? First time we've been able to say that all season long. So Williams leads away with 15. Trevon Diggins, Ethan Meeker, and Grant Gibson all finished with 12 each. So nice balance by the Streaks. Off the bench, Marcus Ross with 4. Ryan Carl had 3. They both fouled out of the game. Denzel Jones, Tyson Parks each had 2. Carson Cheeseman did not score for the Silver Streaks. We're going to get a word with Streaks head coach Mike Reynolds here momentarily. Again, a reminder, Galesburg plays tomorrow with Blue Island Eisenhower in town. That'll be an early start tomorrow, 5 o'clock for the sophomore game, 6:30 scheduled varsity start. We'll have pregame at 6:10. Our postgame coaches interview brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Jim?
Victorious coach Mike Reynolds, and we've decided nothing's easy in this conference, especially this year. Maybe the hardest thing is getting ahead in a ball game and trying to hold on down the stretch. Scenario played out again, and you had just enough to keep them at bay.
Yeah, I mean, eventually, you know, the time's going to run out. So that was nice, you know. But it's been nice to make a free throw or two down the stretch. And I thought Ethan Meeker came in and drilled those 4. Grant drilled those 2. You know, Joe hit a few. That was big. That's big for those guys' confidence, you know. And like I told Trevon and Cheese, you guys are winners. Go up there and knock one in. You know, I know you're not the best free throw shooters in the world, but you make good decisions on offense. I don't care if you bank the thing in. Coach the other day showed a thing on Rick Barry. They were laughing at that. I mean, if you got to throw them up there like that, we don't care. Just get the thing in the hoop.
Rick Barry made 90%, right?
Yeah, they tried to get Shaq to do it. Kids these days don't like that, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we liked the way this team played throughout most of the game. Defensively, you held them to 17 points in that first half, and I'm not sure you could have done a much better job defensively, and Kvitli only had a couple of free throws early.
Yeah, we played well, and I thought we were patient on offense. We we took advantage. We executed a lot better than we did down in Quincy and took advantage of some things. And our guys really executed the game plan. That's nice to see.
This second half, as we went down the stretch, you had 9 turnovers in that fourth quarter. I mean, obviously, they amped up the pressure. You had Grant Gibson bringing the ball up the court at one stretch. What was the thinking there? We actually had other guards, Diggins, on the court, but Grant was bringing the ball up sometimes.
Well, I mean, we don't have a let's throw it to it, 32 minutes a game point guard. So we do it kind of by committee. I thought, at times he had a matchup. He also can see over a trap, and he's a willing passer over out of traps. So he's our best passer out of traps. So I think he grabbed it and went, and I thought we spaced the floor okay. We had some turnovers. They had some turnovers. We were up 7 or 8 going in the quarter with 2 minutes to go. We were up 7. So, I mean, you had a turnover here, you had this, you had that, but you still had the same lead. And I think that was big for us. And then down the stretch, what are we up? We're up 5 with, or 4 or 5 with 6 seconds to go. I called time. That game's over. Unless we just lose our mind for 6 seconds. They had to call a technical or call a timeout to get a technical, and Grant nailed those 2 free throws. But even if he doesn't nail it, we're throwing the ball in, and somebody's going to make them. So it was nice to see.
Much like the Rock Island game, you look back over the segments of this one, you see key guys that came in and made contributions, even if just for a couple of minutes on the offensive end. Marcus Ross had a couple of key baskets for you. Joe Williams in the first half. Joe had a couple of fouls that made us scratch our head, but by and large, his body of work still was pretty good tonight.
Yeah, his energy was good. His focus was a lot better than it was last week, and focus team-wide was good. The two guys that played extremely well, as good as they have all year, Marcus Ross and Ryan Carl, they battled in there. Ryan blocked a shot off the wall, had a beautiful slip, made 3 or 4 free throws. I don't know those two guys can play any better. Defensively, they were monsters down there. I know they end up with 10 fouls, but, they battled for 32 minutes, or I guess they didn't quite battle for 32. They both fouled out, but we just battled and battled and battled, and when it got to game point, they went small, so, the size going out didn't really hurt us.
As always is the case in a game that's as contested as this, the official's job becomes pretty hard. The one thing about it, though, we felt like the crowd was as much into this game as maybe any all year on both sides. It was had to feel good to be down there on the sidelines and feel this energy in the gymnasium tonight.
Yeah, it was a great crowd. I thought our guys responded well, and I think our guys, our crowd continued to try to keep us positive and try to pump us up. And I thought the officials did a nice job. I thought, there's always a play or two, but I thought, it was pretty even as it went through and a well-played game. It was a typical Western Big Six, physical on the ball, physical underneath game.
You made a lot of folks in Rock Island happy tonight.
We made a lot of folks in Galesburg happy. That's what we're concerned with right now.
Well, and you can deal with the Rock Island fans, I guess, next week because it's a tough test, but at least by winning tonight, you made that game that much more important.
Yeah, we got a shot. We're still in the race. And Rocky's saying that, too, when they won tonight. We're still in the race. We know we got 3 conference games left. They add them up at the end. So, the ones we won in the first half count as much as the ones we win now. So we're going to try to stockpile them. Tony La Russa would always say that. Try to stockpile them as many as you can. And they'll count them at the end and see where we're at. If we're in first, we're in first. If we're in third, we're in third. We're just going to come and compete and play and play and play.
And it had to be satisfying to see the kids in the locker room afterwards. They had to be sky high. I mean, probably exhausted, but still after some tough losses to get this win tonight.
Yeah, it's the opposite feeling of last week. Last week I don't think we could have been any more frustrated with the way everything went down and the way we played. And we showed a lot of toughness tonight, which is something that we've, hang our hat on. But we've been missing it a little bit in stretches and games. And that's probably why we've lost some tough games. But it was nice to see us tough one out.
Right, you beat a team with 4 seniors. We thought maybe the experience would hurt us down the stretch, but like you said, you toughed it out with some underclassmen in there.
Yeah, Meeker made those 4 free throws, a freshman, and then Grant as a sophomore came up big, made all the right passes, all the right reads, and made those 2 big free throws, and game, set, match.
All right, very good. Congratulations.
All right, thanks. See you tomorrow.
Final score, 62-58. Galesburg 14-12 on the season, 5-2 in the Western Big Six. We'll take a break here on the postgame show. Come back and wrap things up from John Thiel Gym as Galesburg wins it by 4 and back within a game of first place in the Western Big Six as we continue with Silver Streaks postgame coverage on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Live coverage of GHS basketball on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg, by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business, and by Chuck Ross of Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Stick with it this winter. The blue WGIL button. You could win up to $500.
Details at WGIL.com.
Great night for basketball at John Field Gymnasium. Silver Streak sophomores win the preliminary game in overtime, 64-63. Quincy hit a shot at the buzzer, a three-pointer to send it into overtime. And then Galesburg's Cody Sibley hits a jumper with 1 second left that gave Galesburg a 64-63 win again in overtime. That was after they turned Quincy over on an inbounds pass and what may have been a foul that wasn't called on the sideline. Galesburg, or Quincy, ended up stepping out of bounds after a lot of contact down there. Ended up going as either an out of bounds or a travel. I can't remember which one it was. Galesburg ended up getting the ball back in the half court. Sibley hits that jumper, and the sophomores win it for their seventh win in overtime, 64-63. And then here tonight, you know, Galesburg led when they took the lead at 9-8. In the second quarter on that three-pointer by Joe Williams. That opened up the second quarter. They led the rest of the game.
By as many as, what, 14?
I believe it was 14, yeah. 37-23 was their last biggest lead in the third quarter. So, you know, it was there really wasn't even much back and forth in the first quarter. We had a tie at 2. Quincy took its first lead at 7-6. Galesburg came back, Quincy led 8-6 at the end of the first quarter. Then Galesburg had that second lead change on the Joe Williams three-pointer at the beginning of the second quarter at 9-8 and led the rest of the way. And as I facetiously said to you, had it all the way. Easy win. Certainly was not, but boy, it's fun to see, though. Love to see these conference games go this way.
Well, and it, so many times you make a bid for an upset and then something happens and
right,
and everything that you work for goes for naught and you walk away discouraged.
As Moline almost attested to last week.
We were able to hold on here to this one and not only win tonight, but it just picks it up for the rest of the season, because if you drop another one here tonight, then I think maybe the feeling is, well, we're sometimes good but just not good enough. But by winning this, it gives us a little hop in the step going into tomorrow night's non-conference game, which, by the way, will be
early,
early and probably completely opposite from what we just saw, because Eisenhower is going to fly up and down the court. It's not going to be, I wouldn't guess, nearly as physical a ball game as what we saw down the stretch here tonight. And I think it'll be a nice release for our kids if we've got any energy left to play at that tempo tomorrow evening. So, but that game, and then, of course, you know, the rest of the conference schedule gives us a hope that maybe we can go up and knock off Rock Island again. You figure, hey, we beat them once, we beat Quincy, why not go up there and beat
right.
again? May not happen, but at least we feel like we've got the people out there to have a shot. So a confidence builder as much as one that keeps us up in the standings.
Absolutely. 62-58, we'll take our final timeout. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, our final order of business up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Tune in for Fighting Illini basketball as Illinois takes on Wisconsin Sunday afternoon at 2 on WGIL.
The Fighting Illini play here, Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Hashing over the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game here at John Field Gym, where the Silver Streaks hang on 62-58 over previously unbeaten Quincy. The Blue Devils now 6-1 in the conference. Galesburg and Rock Island still tied for second, a game back at 5-2, as Jim mentioned, with the Streaks heading up to Rock Island next Friday night. So our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game.
We could make
many,
it hard
on. How many
kids
are on the roster?
Let's make it hard on Nick back in the studio. We could just have everybody call in and. One poor guy will be there answering the phone all night trying to figure out how many votes are tallied for certain players. But it was one of those kind of nights where we had a lot of contributions. And
nine Silver Streaks on the roster played in this game, and we could pick out every one of them for something really important that they did.
Yeah, and there was a lot of crunch time in this going on. You had mentioned certainly Gibson making the two free throws after the technical, which really sealed it, gave us that four-point lead, and that was big. And before that, Coach Reynolds had made the offense for defense substitution when he took Denzel Jones out, put in Ethan Meeker. They fouled Ethan. Ethan hit two free throws. Those were big that gave us that lead there. And plus, Ethan hit a couple of big three-pointers tonight in the second half. We talk about how important those are for this team. And so I guess I might lean the freshman's way tonight.
And that's what I was looking back at, was the two three-pointers he hit in the third quarter. He had all 12 of his points in the second half. He got a couple of good looks in the first half. Neither one of them went down.
Tell he was knocking on the door.
He was right there.
Those balls were just off.
And so he knocked down both three-pointers he shot in the second half, and there in the third quarter helped Galesburg build he helped Galesburg build that 14-point lead. His last three-pointer made it 37-23 before Quincy started the slow, steady, and very deliberate comeback. Then the two free throws that he hit down the stretch, as Jim mentioned, put him up by 7 at the time, 60-53, before Quincy continued to grind it out toward the end, and then Grant hit those two free throws for the final points of the game. So 62-58, Ethan Meeker, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and again, four Silver Streaks scored in double figures tonight, led by Joe Williams with 15.
The point counterpoint from Coach Ryan Hart, the sophomores got the win we were talking about their last possession.
And he saw, says the kid traveled.
He saw another perspective down there, too. But either way, it was an incredible finish for the Gales.
Yeah, it was. Well, sophomores. And, all the credit to Cody Sibley. I mean, if he doesn't make the shot, we're not talking about it.
Right. So. Well, we're talking more about the Quincy player that banks in the three that sends us into the overtime. So, well, and keep in mind that when the sophomores win a game like this against a Quincy team that had only lost three coming in, we could be playing Joe Williams and Grant Gibson and Ethan Meeker in that game.
Right.
And it's not close. So that's something to keep in mind going forward. Ryan Hart, he was telling us that he was expecting to have a juggernaut team this year, at the sophomore level. Well, then when we had roster issues and didn't have Kendall Thompson go out, then we had to bump Ethan Meeker up. And you knew Grant was going to play
well,
varsity,
sure,
but Joe Williams too became very necessary, and so yeah, that's a good point.
And those sophomores will continue to move up with the other freshmen and sophomores on the Galesburg roster until they're all in the varsity together.
JJ Range had a nice game tonight.
Yeah, he did.
So
a good night here at Thiel Gym, and as you said, Jim, a completely different game tomorrow night. Got to remember that. Galesburg put 100 on those guys a couple of years ago, and I think it was, 91-86 last year, 85, something like that.
Track meet up there.
So you want to see some of the system run? Come on out here tomorrow. As if you haven't seen enough of it from the girls this season, you'll see the boys' version as Blue Island Eisenhower comes to town with some run-and-gun offense, and as Jim said, probably a very different game. Thanks, Jim. We'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, and against Streaks Girls tomorrow, 3:10, first broadcast of the day.
That's right. And our thanks to Nick Simpson at the downtown studios as Galesburg prevails here tonight, 62-58, not quite the 111-0 that's showing on the scoreboard right now for whatever reason. Galesburg 14-12 on the season, 5-2 in the conference. Quincy drops to 15-5 and 6-1 in the Western Big Six. For Nick Simpson downtown, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Good night from John Thiel Gymnasium.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Boys Basketball on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.